Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. It is already the 29th day of December 2008 and the waning days and hours of 2008. He has a long gray beard. He swings side to side. The year will soon elapse and it will die, and a fresh new year will be ushered in. Thank you so much for joining us today. Coming up in 2 hours, we have Kevin Ryan, the engineer who worked at Underwriting Laboratories, who found out that Underwriting Laboratories had done internal tests and found that Tower 1 and 2 and 7 couldn't have fallen the way the government claimed. He then wanted to go public with that information. They told him that he wasn't allowed to, but then he did. He did go ahead and go public, and so they fired him. So Kevin Ryan joining us for a full hour coming up in 2 hours. And then we have the young student joining us who was banned from wearing a 9/11 truth shirt at his school. Also, his public school, his government training camp, has big chapters in his textbook about world government and how wonderful it is. But then when he said he was against world government, he was told that the textbook and the article basically didn't exist. So classic mind control, classic cognitive dissonance, and doublethink. And his YouTube videos have gotten hundreds of thousands of views as he resists within the re-education camp known as the public school. So I believe you pronounce it Wanick, Robert Wanick, joining us coming up. And then in studio, Tommy Pallotta. Tommy was in town. He lives over in the Netherlands now part of the year with a film company over there. And he also lives in L.A. part of the year. Good friend of mine. You know, he produced Waking Life, A Scanner Darkly, and quite a few other movies, but those are two that I'm in. And he's been working on some documentaries as of late. I thought we'd have him in dealing with the new media and where he sees, because he's a speaker around the world discussing new media and technologies. So I thought we'd have Tommy in here for 40 minutes today in the last 40 minutes of the broadcast. In the next 2 hours, though, we are going to have open phones. I've got a lot of news I'm going to be covering. Obviously, the India-Pakistan situation. They almost went to war last week with the two armies mashing on the Kashmir border. Of course, you know what started up on Saturday is the massive Israeli bombardment of the 1.5 million people living in the Gaza Strip. I'll be going over that. It's as if a switch was flipped and wars just mushroomed across the globe. We're seeing fresh conflict in Somalia, fresh conflict in Sudan, fresh conflict in Asia, many different areas, not just Central Asia. On 888, we saw the NATO, U.S., Israeli-backed sneak attack on Russian forces in South Ossetia and Abkhazia. Why is this happening? We'll go over it coming up in this hour, and taking your calls on what you think the most important stories were of 2008, what the most overlooked stories were versus what was reported on, and your predictions for the first year of Barack H. Obama. We'll be taking calls over the next 3 days into the new year and then into the first day of the new year here on this radio transmission. We will also be live today in the third and fourth hour, full 2 hours at PrisonPlanet.tv. For PrisonPlanet.tv members, you'll be able to watch that live stream. We've also added now a flash format, and it's really a high-quality download that we offer when the show's over. So if you're not watching it live, there's a flash download and a Windows download, and we've really got the encoder tweaked. So it looks really, really clean and clear and crisp. And we're planning to even upgrade that with an even higher res download for members at PrisonPlanet.tv. But in T-minus 1 hour, 55 minutes, 10 seconds, we'll be live at PrisonPlanet.tv. All right, the radio transmission continues. You found it, the front lines of the InfoWar.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I told Aaron Friday that I wanted to get Ed Asner on the show to comment on Barack H. Obama, who's flip-flopped on everything he said he'd do against war, police state, warrantless wiretapping, NAFTA-GATT. And, because Ed Asner is a big anti-war guy, and so I was intending to have 2 hours of open phones, but he just called Ed at his house, and Ed said, "Today's as good a day as any. I want to come on right now." So Ed Asner is on in 55 minutes from now. But we're still going to have open phones. You can respond to what you think is coming up in the next year. What do you think Barack H. Obama, the puppet, is going to do? We'll cover all of that. Obviously, we'll be talking next hour a lot about the war. This is how I see what's happening between Israel and Hamas. It's tribal warfare. But Israel is going to, any way you slice it, come out as the bad guy here because, you've got people throwing rocks at tanks. You've got the Gazans firing these Katyusha rockets that are glorified Estes rockets. They do kill people, on average about a person a week, but it's more of a harassment type situation. You know, more people die every week in Texas from hitting deer on the highway than you can literally pull that statistic up than die in Israel from Katyusha rockets being shot over the border. And then you have to look at the way the Gazans live. 1.5 million Palestinians in an area about twice the size of the District of Columbia, mainly desert, and hilly kind of badlands type topography. And you've got them herded in there with Israel for years, shutting off food, medicine, water, money. And Israel's argument is, well, they use that money to get weapon systems, or people are smuggling arms in, and that certainly is happening. But the image of all these tanks lined up and all this artillery lined up and of F-16s and F-15s and helicopters raining bombs and missiles down on crowded populations, and the images of now over 300 dead, over 1,000 injured, and that's last night's numbers. Every time the numbers come out a day later, it's double that, so it's probably 500, 600 dead, probably 2,000 injured. Nobody knows. This is tribal warfare. It is always going to be going on. And the same thing is going on between Pakistan and India. The difference here is that Pakistan and India both have nuclear weapons, and they've been massing troops on their borders, threatening to attack each other. So why suddenly is this happening? Why suddenly Israel and the situation in Gaza? Why suddenly the heat between India and Pakistan? Why did the United States, through their puppet in Georgia, launch this sneak attack on Russian forces? And again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just reporting the facts here. You know, I'm not on the side of the Ruskies. I'm not on the side of, the Pakistanis, the Indians, the Israelis, the Palestinians, any of these people. Because there is no side in this. The New World Order is manipulating all of this chaos and this crisis. And it's the same thing that we saw in the 1970s, where the PLO was the dominant force and was having real political effects worldwide on Israel and pressuring Israel to give up land that it had taken during the Six-Day War. And so what did Israel do? And this is in the Haaretz and Jerusalem Post. You can just Google Israel founded Hamas, and you'll find the mainstream articles from Israel. Israel founded Hamas as a radical Islamicist counter to the quasi-secular PLO. Because when you look at what the CIA and MI6 and Shin Bet and Mossad have done as a policy for 50 years in the Middle East and Central Asia is to radicalize Islam and to use radical Muslims to go in and assassinate or overthrow or block secular Palestinian or Arab groups. So I really don't shed any tears for Israel when their little creation, Hamas, is running around firing these tinker toy rockets. And I mean, militarily, they are tinker toys. They're unguided. They have a small munition in them. 99% of the time, they don't kill anybody. Now, if you're that 1% when it falls on your school and kills, you know, five kids, it's not fun. And it certainly is a serious issue. But, again, why did Israel go out and create Hamas, a bunch of wild-eyed individuals? Well, because they didn't want, I'm not saying PLO's legitimate, Yasser Arafat, you know, just is a, it was a real piece of work and clearly was assassinated. The point is that historically that's what's happening. Now, they didn't just create Hamas to counter the PLO. They created it mainly to counter Iran. Well, later it developed the Shiite-backed, also founded in the early 70s, and then later backed by Iran by 1979, Hezbollah. Now, Hezbollah is a serious fighting force, though it is religious-based, Shiite religious-based, and in checkerboard formations, swearing to fight to the death, they defeated the entire IDF 2 years ago. All the tanks, all the nerve gas, all the artillery, all the cluster bombs couldn't defeat guys who were dug into foxholes, sworn to fight to the death with anti-tank weapons. And Israel got defeated. So why is Israel deciding to strike right now? Well, because politically they got a bloody nose, and the aura of invincibility of Israel. No army is invincible. I mean, Israel has a surprisingly successful rate of winning, but they lost against Hezbollah. That's Iranian-backed. That's Shiite. And now the news is saying that Iran is backing Hamas. Now, that's ridiculous, ladies and gentlemen. Those two groups are at each other's throats and are constantly killing each other. That's like the media saying that that Iran is backing al-Qaeda when the White House publicly has three al-Qaeda groups attacking Iran continually. They're Sunnis, ladies and gentlemen. It's a Wahhabist sect out of Saudi Arabia. Look, I'm not going to go on all day with a history lesson here. It's just they're counting on the American people being ignorant in all of this. And Israel is doing this because of bribery scandals, corruption scandals. They've had a bunch of things on the order of Blagojevich over there with people taking armaments bribes and bribes from the prostitution rings and bribes from the ecstasy rings. And, you know, it's all come out that about half the Knesset is on the payroll of the mafia over there, just like our government's on mafia payroll. And so they got an election coming up in a few months, and this is an election event. This is an election event. I mean, did they do precision strikes against Hamas and the Katusha rocket pads? No. Are they doing precision strikes up against their border? You know, are they killing, you know, a few of the rebels here and there? No. They are bombing the daylights out of the main infrastructure, the police stations, the government buildings. They are further destroying that country, the Gaza Strip, that area that has been under siege for decades. And that is the greatest and oldest form of total war, is siege. And so I have to say that though politically the hotheads of Hamas are playing into the hands of Israel, firing their bottle rockets, firing their 4th of July, souped up 4th of July rockets. I mean, if they politically would not be violent and would just speak out, Israel couldn't get away with what they're doing. But see, Israel is slick at propaganda compared to the Arabs. I mean, remember 2 years ago the images of the Israeli police going in and beating settlers, Jewish settlers, with billy clubs, splitting their heads open, knocking their teeth out, bulldozing their houses? That image was sent worldwide out to make Israel look bad for not allowing the settlements to expand. And then people said, oh, leave the settlers alone. See how that propaganda worked? I mean, this is just classic propaganda. And look, I wish all these people would just live in peace. But you know what? Since David killed Goliath, you know, the Philistine, who is that? That's the Palestinians of today. These people have been killing each other for 3,000 years. It isn't going to stop, okay? They've been killing each other for 3,000 years because when the Israelites came out of Egypt, folks, the promised land was not empty. And there were their genetic cousins running around all over the place there. And they've been killing each other ever since, and it just isn't going to stop. And it's a real shame. But that's all I can really say on that issue. We'll talk about it with Ed Asner coming up in about 40 minutes. I want to come back and take phone calls at 800-259-9231. Cash-strapped states weigh selling roads and parks, Associated Press. Remember, over a decade ago, I made America Destroyed by Design 11 and a half years ago. And in that film, I said that when the bankers decided to call in the national debt, which they fraudulently created, that they would take our roads, our ports, and our national parks, because I could read the executive orders. I mean, that's why everything we say comes true, because we're just going off the documents, and the documents are in the film. Well, here it is. They're just handing America over like we're a third world nation. We'll get into that. Also, a great story out of the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, where Homeland Security is arresting U.S. citizens for marijuana at Homeland Security checkpoints all over the state of Washington. Total violation. So they're finally covering, months after the alternative press did, the Constitution free zones.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still.
Barack says Israel is in all-out war with Hamas, right as Rahm Emanuel gets into the White House as the chief of staff, right on time. Former IDF soldier. We now have IDF soldiers as our White House chief of staff. You know, why not just have a completely foreign government? Just have it right out in the open. And Kurt Nemo's got a big special report up there with a huge news blitz. Basically, every article there is out there in YouTube clips of all the carnage up on Infowars.com. Israel's been accused of massive war crime atrocities. Well, they are fighting people with caveman technology. It is, there's no way to put perfume on a pig. So Israel accused of massive war crime atrocities. That's a Paul Watson article from PrisonPlanet.com. Another story from Kurt Nemo, conflict between Pakistan and India, realizing Iran's plan for World War III. They've got that heating up over there with both sides building up for war. Also, the government searching the internet in near real time for terrorists. They list terrorists as people like architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. And they're openly announcing a huge plan to start censoring the internet. We'll get more into that later. So that's some of the news we have on that front. Again, coming up today on the radio show, we have Ed Asner to talk about Barack Obama and his betrayal of the people and all these wars popping up from Georgia to India and Pakistan to the West Bank. Then we have Tommy Pallotta and Kevin Ryan also. Tommy Pallotta will be in studio. But I'm going to go ahead and go to your calls now, and then later in the hour I'm going to get into cash-strapped states weigh selling roads and parks. Ah, yes, I have some comments on this. And the bankers will buy up all the infrastructure with fiat currency that they had the private Federal Reserve issue them. And so guess they're going to use our tax money to buy up real infrastructure, and then we get to pay the taxes on the money that was given to the foreign banks to take over our property. We get to pay to be slaves and have our land taken, and then we get to pay taxes on the roads to the foreign companies. So you pay in taxes so they have the money to buy your roads for pennies on the dollar, and then you pay them again. And if you don't like it, a SWAT team will drop by. Let's talk to Kazakh in Jamaica. Kazakh, you're on the air.
Alex.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, today I'm going to be... What?
Sir, you know, I've told you twice you're on air. Go ahead. Go ahead. Can you hear me?
I want to be. Yeah, are you hearing me?
Yes, I can hear you. I mean, we're on the air together right now.
Okay, good. So what I want to bring up here today is I'm trying to find out if you did you get my emails?
I get a lot of emails. You've called before. I think I saw one of them about black people being the true Jews and white people being the seed of Satan.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yes, that's your email, and you're an intellectual giant because you can hardly string a sentence together here.
All right, sure, whatever.
Listen,
but anyway,
let me guess, you're going to tell me that those aren't real Jews in Israel right now. Those are devil people. Is that what you called about today?
Yes.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I know. You've called before, sir. I've read your email. I've scanned over your email.
Yeah, but you know what? The main thing that I'm calling about, you had a guest on about 2 weeks ago. He said...
Was he a devil person, too?
You guys... I don't know. I don't know who he's...
Did you know that I tuck my... Hold on. You know I tuck my tail into my pants.
Yeah. This is the topic I want to talk about.
Did you know I do have reptilian eyes and I do have a forked tail?
You know what? Woe unto those who laugh now because they shall...
I know. I'm a devil seed.
Right?
Yeah. Hey, listen, I appreciate your call. I've really heard enough from you, okay? When you can not call in smoking 14 ganjas, I know you're sitting there with a giant spliff right now smoking it. And, you know, you're laid back going, oh, man, I'm God. I'm God. I've got dreadlocks. I'm God. Marcus Garvey, I'm God. Good. Look, you're just like the Nazis. You're just like the Zionist. You're just like every other group. You're just like Mecha and La Raza that say they're the God race. You know what? I love every human being out there. Black children, brown children, red children, white children, yellow children. Now, do I like the horrible, evil people that try to teach them to hate people because of the color of their skin? Yeah, I can't stand those people. And, you know, regardless... I understand that Solomon went off and married an Ethiopian. I understand that only 30% of the people in Israel are really originally from the Middle East. I understand about the Khazarians, all of that. My point is, sir, that I am not going to get down in the Ku Klux Klan's level or your level. So go ahead and tell me I'm an evil white devil. Go ahead. Single group. There are Asian groups that say they are the supreme race, that God smiles upon them. Some of the Japanese warlords kind of distorted some of the shogun philosophy, the samurai philosophy, and said that all the other Asian groups were under their control, subhuman, that was some type of religious rite. We've got all these other groups. And you know, meanwhile, I'm trying to fight the globalist. Fully conquering us, fully taking us over, fully enslaving us. And I've got the white supremacists hating me. I've got the black Israelites hating me. I've got the Mecha, La Raza, race. That's what it means, the race. For those inside the race, everything. For those outside the race, nothing. And I say, you know, I'm against all of this infighting. The New World Order is ruling over us. And one group says, Heil Hitler, we're going to kill you, Jones. And the other group says, Hail Marcus Garvey, we're going to get you, Jones. And the other, you know, I mean, I'm just sick of it all. It's idiotic. I know it feels good to say you're number one and you're the best and you're the chosen people. And you look at what that gets you over there with Israel right now. So, I mean, I'm just completely sick of it. I am so tired of it. Oh, man. Randy in Canada. Go ahead, Randy. You're on the air.
Oh?
Yes, Randy. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. First of all, I'd like to thank you for all the great documentaries you've put out. I've just ordered 3 more off your website. I'm excited to be getting those in the mail.
But none of that matters because I'm a white devil.
Well, I've heard that guy on the show before.
Because I have a pink skin, like some type of mole rat. I am like some type of cave creature. I am of the devil. And it's the same thing. If your dog's got pink skin... You know, on his belly. He's of Satan, sir. And you know, and according to the white groups, if your dog has black skin, he's a devil dog too. You know, it's a dog, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care if it's got white skin or black skin. And if it's got white skin or black skin and it's a human, it's a human. But you can't tell that to these jackasses.
I believe these people are missing the point of this whole fight that we're involved in right now. It's not about this or that or who you are or what color your skin is. It's about the freedom for everybody. But the question I'd like to ask
But you are an evil white person, so shut up.
The question I'd like to ask you right now is, amongst all this chaos that's going on in the world, where is the North American Union and Amero going at this point? Is it going full steam ahead, and is the Amero going to come in, or are they going to skip the Amero and go to a cashless society?
Okay. The Amero and the Phoenix, and I appreciate your call. It's a big question, so let me answer it, Randy. The Amero was proposed in a paper by the Council on Foreign Relations, and then they've had some pundits on television the last 5 years propose going to a North American currency called the Amero. In Forbes magazine and in Money magazine back in the late 80s, they proposed in two different issues a Phoenix currency worldwide. Whatever it's named, the point is the big private central banks that are orchestrating the collapse we're seeing, they want to get rid of local sovereign governments setting their own currency values and rates. They want an international body to set the standards and the rates. Now, we've seen the big central banks orchestrate the world crisis we're in, and then they propose out of that crisis, as we said they would, a private group of banks at an international level under treaty agreements setting the price and value of the world's dominant 10 currencies every single day to a global set unit. But that doesn't mean it's fairly set, you know, set at one level or raised or lowered together. It means that the private central banks, who, by the way, are in the stock markets and in the derivatives markets manipulating currencies and making profits off of it, it allows them to rig it all to their benefit and their benefit only. So, see, everything's a rigged game. They don't have to follow any rules on investment. Everybody else does. They get to have fractional reserve leveraging 30 to 1, 50 to 1, 100 to 1. The citizenry can't do that. It's called money laundering, or it's called counterfeiting. And it's the same thing where – and then on top of it, you will buy your carbon taxes from them. So to explain how globalization happens, we are under the North American Union right now. It's what degree of it. You know, they signed a deal back in the early 1990s to expand the hemispheric trade agreements. Then they signed NAFTA and GATT in 94, which clearly is a European Union-style agreement. If you look at how the European Union started in 1957 under the Treaty of Rome, when they signed that agreement, they said, well, really, under the Treaty of London, 1949, we've already been in a European Union. And then now they brag 50-something years later. They say, oh, yeah, it was secret all along, and we didn't admit to the public that it was really a union until the late 90s. And then now that Europe, France, and the Netherlands, and Ireland, and other countries keep voting to want out of the European Union says, no, you're not allowed to get out. In fact, we're going to expand it on you, whether you like it or not. So it's the same thing. Just like they denied there was a European Union until about 98. And they said, you know what? These trade deals really were bringing you into a union. And then people argue, well, a union is just the next step in society. No, it's not. You know, the argument goes, well, first we were hunter-gatherers in bands that were just migrating around. And then we were agrarian, and then we set up city-states and then nation-states and then empires, and now it's global government. Well, you can argue, you know, that's the next step, kind of the predictive programming of Star Trek and things along those lines. Where, well, global government's just the next step. Well, is there a debate about do we want a global government? No. There's not even a debate about what kind of global government do we want if we decide we want one. They just say, sit down and shut up. It doesn't exist. While they openly announce it and openly set it up. I mean, it's just complete mind games that they're playing. So the reason they want global government more than anything is so there's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, where they have complete control, where there's not, quote, tax havens. The big private banks don't like people running to Luxembourg or running to Monte Carlo or running to the Bahamas or running to Dubai. They don't want the commoner to do that. They have it set up where they can. They call those tax havens. They want to come in and with global government, force the U.S. to have an 80% tax rate. That's what the Ex-Im Bank wants, International Bank of Settlements, the OECD. They all call for that. But more importantly, they want to be able to set up the new rules. You see, when you set up the new global government, you can set it up where you're the boss and where your institutions are in control. And so they said back in 1974, in the Trilateral Commission public documents set up by Zbigniew Brzezinski, Jimmy Carter, and David Rockefeller, they stated in there that they would, by the year 2000, they're a few years behind, as you can see, have these global currency battles and have a world economic meltdown. And out of that meltdown, they would then bring in 10 regional currencies under 10 kingdoms. It's also in the Club of Rome and CFR documents. But then within those 10 regions, those would be divided into three super regions above the 10 sub regions. And now they propose, just exactly as they did 34 years ago, they propose this the year I was born, 34 years ago, about to be 35. But the point is, 34 years later, they come right out in hundreds of publications and say to the world, well, we've got this global banking crisis. There wasn't enough regulation, so we need these big private central banks to have governmental power when they are the private central banks that engineered this and orchestrated all of this. I mean, on its face, it's a fraud. And they openly say in Pentagon and Ministry of Defense documents that they work for the private banks, and that Wall Street and the Bank of England and the City of London openly rules the earth, and that they are going to take everything the people own, your land, your parks, your roads, your infrastructure, everything, and that they are going to deploy troops in the streets of America and England, and that they will use mercenaries and foreign forces. It's all public now, and that you will pay your carbon taxes and have regulators in your home, in your office, micromanaging every facet of your life, and they're going to hire millions of these lazy, do-nothing, know-nothing, ne'er-do-well, moron, bankrupt slobs to come in like parasites and enforce on us and suck everything out of the productive, who have always been the enemy of the parasite elite, because we rival them, because they know a challenge to their hegemonic monopoly of power always springs from the middle class. So they are engaging in predatory actions to dumb us down, break up our families, destroy our capital base, just like a male bear will come into the female's cave, come into the female's den, and will smell the babies and will kill any male cubs. That's what the government does when they target boys to put them on Ritalin and Prozac. They have handbooks. It's declassified. We've covered it here with top educators, former head of policy, Department of Education, where they said 60 years ago, we've got to drug and target leadership males. Who are they? They're aggressive. They raise their hand a lot. They talk a lot. They're popular. Drug them. Hurt them. Sterilize them. Get them. Because real eugenics isn't just about killing the low IQ or the genetically inferior and all that other bull. It's really about targeting rivals to the elite. And just like a bear comes in and grabs that baby bear and kills it, he comes up, he smells the male, and he just goes, yeah. That's what they're doing to America right now. And it's the same thing. What does a male lion do? Why do the females stay in those prides and protect the babies? Because the males will rush in like any big predator mammal. You know, some species of predator whale will kill baby males or injure baby males because they know he's going to grow up big and strong. That's what the government's for. That's why they put fluoride in your water. They savage you with wanton abandon. They savage military attack, military, military, military. Just like they're attacking Gaza right now, the New World Order military attacks you every day. When the food and the water you drink, and they do it with wanton abandon and nobody stepping up to stop them. You look at wolves, which, of course, is our favorite domesticated animal because they're very similar in their troop or pack psychology to primates, to bipedal creatures. And what does a dominant wolf do, especially when the pack gets large? It goes in and it picks out the little male puppies that look strong, that look big, that have show a lot of energy, and it tears their guts out. So, America, you're having your guts torn out right now. You understand that? You understand? That's what's happening to you right now. And I want to say something, and I'm going back to your calls, to the FBI, the CIA, to police, to all of you. You work for a system that loves betrayal. You work for a system that is anti-American and is sworn to destroy our sovereignty, our way of life, our free market, and everything that's been good about this nation. And all those years that the law enforcement publications, hundreds of them, saw one issue, what, 6-7 years ago of Law Enforcement Technology and Weapons, I believe is the name of the publication. We covered it, showed it on air. And it said in there, oh, police, if you see somebody with a Get Us Out of the UN sticker, they're probably a terrorist. Go ahead and arrest them. And police chiefs, support your officers going ahead and just arresting this person for no reason. Try to find something on them because these people are terrorists and they believe in a false conspiracy about a new world order and none of this exists and they're lying anti-American scum, basically. And you've got the FBI memos and training manuals that say gun owners, those that make frequent references to the U.S. Constitution, super patriots, we're terrorists. Then we have FEMA training videos of them teaching police and firemen and sheriff's deputies that the founding fathers were bad and that gun owners are bad. I mean, that's in my film Road to Tyranny. Firefighter sent me that video out of Kansas City. And then I was sent SLAT training by separate federal officers. One of them FBI, the other guy was federal marshal. All the same crap. So here we were reading public UN documents, reading public announcements. We have videos of Walter Cronkite and Hillary Clinton calling for world government. Hundreds of these videos. We play them here on air, the audio. You know, they get up on C-SPAN and say it every day now. And then you go around with training manuals saying we made it up and it isn't real. I mean, as if it isn't obvious enough that we're the good guys, we're the patriots, we're the people defending the Republic and defending the Bill of Rights and the Second Amendment and the Constitution and property rights, and that all of that's under attack, and that America and the West itself is turning into an Orwellian police state. And then you've got the nerve to talk about how you're the pro-U.S. patriots and how we are bad and that we're liars and that none of this exists. And then now simultaneously, hundreds of newspapers come out and announce world government is good, new world order is good. Yes, we secretly set it up, but it's for your own good. And now you're going to pay carbon taxes to the private bankers. I mean, you could be lazy in the past and not go look up your own government documents and find out we were telling you the truth. But now it's all over the Wall Street Journal and the Financial Times of London and the London Telegraph and AFP and Reuters. And the LA Times, and then you're telling me I'm still a liar as they openly take over the ports and the roads and the infrastructure, and as they openly steal $1,300,000,000,000 a month, excuse me, a week, and I as a taxpayer have to pay it back, and suddenly the IRS is auditing and sucking money out of everybody, and there's cops writing tickets, and they're passing new business taxes everywhere and 88 new taxes in New York and a whole bunch of new taxes in Texas and raping and robbing us and cops in black uniforms running around and openly announcing the army's going to be on the streets. You know, all those years I talked about how the Army was training to confiscate our guns. And then they put out government manuals saying we were liars and it was a conspiracy theory. And now it's on the news that it's for the American people. And you took the guns in New Orleans and you're taking them in Illinois right now using the Army. And you know about it. A lot of FBI people are involved. You're not all compartmentalized. And you still sit there and say, you are the good guys. You are the good guys. You are the patriots. You are the people that I'm supposed to bow down to and lick your feet and just turn the whole damn country, excuse me, over to you. So you can bring in this stinking New World Order that looks like a cross between Nazi Germany and Soviet Russia. So you can turn my kids into little Stasi tattletale squads and use our blood, our soldiers, to launch all these wars. You are involved in high treason. Stop mincing words. Stop playing games. Decide whose side you're on. Come in and join the American people. All right, Ed Asner's just joining us for 30 minutes, so we'll take calls after he leaves us. We got a bunch of other informative guests coming up today. Let's go ahead and talk to Ben in Virginia. Ben, you are on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. How's it going?
Good, sir.
I just wanted to say that most people who are just starting to listen for the first time may not know how all of this is possible, how they can get the money for this kind of thing, and it's all in the comprehensive annual financial reports. I watched that last night. It blew my mind. There's no doubt that they're doing this, that they're in collusion, both the Democrats and the Republicans together.
Look, it's simple. You had private bankers took over in 1913, declared martial law over the states in 1933 with the War Powers Act. The Federal Reserve in Bloomberg 2 weeks ago admitted that the U.S. is now under war powers. The private Federal Reserve has hijacked the government publicly. It's a private corporate takeover. And this isn't like some nice corporation took us over. They're totally tyrannical eugenicists. And the FBI and the police are going to follow orders. They're going to carry it out for the crooks, because the crooks are wrapped in an American flag.
And for 40 years, neither the Democrats or the Republicans ever brought to light these annual financial reports, because they didn't want people to know that both sides were stealing massive amounts of money.
Let
from
me
the
go
American
forward.
People.
I mean, he's a nice guy and all, city manager down by Houston. He's the guy fighting the Trans-Texas corridors. But I brought up to him, I said, what about the comprehensive financial reports? And he turned red on TV because we were videotaping it for PrisonPlanet.tv and smiled real big and wouldn't get into that. See, I mean, that's the big dirty secret. Every water district, every city, every county, every one of them has this double set of books.
I could be wrong, but this is the majority of the wealth in this country.
No. It's about 80% of it now. They've been
incredible.
Taking 65% on average of school district, water district, every fund, city, county, state, federal, all the agencies, and investing it in offshore banks. And by the way, that's not for your pension funds, city workers, county workers. This is separate. This is what the national security state is all about, robbing you. Taking everything you've got, and then now we're to the point of the Ponzi schemes over. But instead of Ponzi running off to the hills with a bag of gold, he's now going to bring in the next phase, total domination. Anything else, sir?
No, that's about it, but that's where it's at. That's
absolutely.
Right where it's at.
Absolutely. And all the spooks out there, there's a story up on Infowars.com. I've been asking the guys to do a story about this for a few weeks. They finally got around to it, and I appreciate Kurt Nimmo writing a story about it. First person to point it out was Derek, one of our sales guys. Here at the office, he said, hey, I'm getting emails on YouTube. When you YouTube Alex Jones, CIA.gov pops up as an ad. So we typed in every other thing you can imagine, other patriot leaders, nothing. If you type in military or you type in Alex Jones, the only two searches you type in that get it, you get a CIA ad. Why are they trying to recruit people that watch my videos? Or is it a psyop to associate me with it or something? You see, folks, they want to tear me down because they know that I'm an archetypal meme or archetypal image now of resistance and liberty. And so they can destroy my name and destroy my image. They can then make people not feel like they can be leaders or that they can take action. They're afraid of you modeling yourselves after our InfoWar, which I'm not claiming is perfect, but is the most effective out there, and becoming even greater than we are. And so they want to muddy the waters and make it all about Alex Jones. I think that's part of it, too, just to, like, intimidate people, to create a controversy. But there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Not just YouTube ads owned by Google. We're now noticing with Google Ads, if you search Alex Jones or you're on a page about Alex Jones, there's CIA ads and Google ads. Unbelievable. So amazing. All right, we're going to come back with Ed Asner and more of your calls. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, for the next 30 minutes, we're joined by screen legend of movies and television, Ed Asner. Then in the next hour, Kevin Ryan is joining us. He worked for Underwriting Laboratories and, of course, found out they had an internal report about the impossibility of the collapse of all three of the towers. And then when he went public with their internal report, he was fired. So that is coming up as well. It's sad timing, but it is apropos timing to have Ed Asner on today because we've now had the Israeli bombardment start 2 days ago of Gaza, injuring over 1,000, killing more than 300, and that's sad escalation. We've had India and Pakistan almost coming to blows over the weekend. We've had the United States running this NATO sneak attack on South Ossetia against Russian forces. It's like somebody flipped a switch. Is this what Joe Biden talked about that would be so unpopular once Obama got in? He's got his ear to the ground there in Hollywood. Maybe he knows. Also, the former head of the Screen Actors Guild. The list goes on and on. He really needs no introduction. Ed Asner, thanks for coming on, sir.
Thanks for having me.
So much is going on. What do you want to talk about first?
Well, I wasn't as aware of the news headlines that you've been giving for the last few minutes, so I'm kind of reeling and shocked. I wouldn't know where to begin. You name it.
Let's get into 9/11 truth first, and then when we come back, we'll get into the situation in Israel and the situation with India and Pakistan building up troops on their borders. And why this is suddenly all happening in your opinion. But 9/11 Truth itself, why did you take the plunge and get involved with 9/11 Truth, Ed?
Well, the impossibility of it all consternated me, and I could not accept the media truth about it. And this was later substantiated by the fumbling, bumbling 9/11 Commission, which even admitted that it did not have all the facts. It certainly did not take the witnesses that it should have taken, and did not get testimony from high officialdom in Washington either. So I questioned myself and the rest of the 9/11 movement at how much there is a standing alone and trying to present some of the facts to unaware observers and watching their disbelief at hearing me espouse anything besides what is printed as the official truth.
So you're challenging the official orthodoxy. And now we've seen people like Keith Olbermann cover what Cy Hirsch reported on 3 months ago, the fact that Dick Cheney planned to stage attacks on U.S. ships with Navy SEALs dressed up like Iranians in fake patrol boats. And now we see the term false flag.
Where was that published?
That was covered by Cy Hirsch in a speech he gave, and then it was covered by Keith Olbermann on his news program, but then it got almost no coverage after that. But I mean, my point is that finally, we're seeing the public and even the mainstream media start to understand that false flag terror is a real part of statecraft.
Well, if they didn't learn it after the truth about Vietnam, then they'll never learn. And I think that Americans who have lived in this bubble of the city on the hill find it so impossible to believe that anything akin to skullduggery could take place within this great people's democracy.
Stay there, Mr. Asner.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
For another 27 minutes or so, or 25 minutes, we're joined by Ed Asner, American actor known for his Emmy-winning role in Lew Grant and the Mary Tyler Moore Show. In the spinoff series Lew Grant, he also appeared as a recurring star as Wilson White, the television series Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, and it just goes on in countless films. I love the role he played in JFK with Oliver Stone, just fantastic, and he is with us. But he's also an activist against mercury and vaccines decades ago when really nobody else was covering it. He's an anti-war activist. And he's just done a lot of great work. That's why the mainstream corporate media has attacked him. You know, overall, Ed Asner, a lot of Democrats, a lot of liberals, a lot of progressives had hoped, and obviously people couldn't vote for McCain. They couldn't validate 8 years of George Bush. So a lot of people said, well, we'll give Barack Obama a shot. He's now appointed a guy who is for expanding NAFTA and GATT. So he has flip-flopped and you know, as his advisor said a few months ago, he said, don't worry. That's just rhetoric about ending NAFTA and GATT. He's continuing the warrantless spying on the American people. He's saying that he is basically going to keep the Secretary of Defense on, that they're going to beef up troops in Afghanistan, just everything he's doing is a betrayal of what he said he was going to do, and it appears that all of this naked imperialism is actually going to continue. Ed Asner, your response to that?
Well, I missed your question. I was busy asking you one. What's Obama's statement on the continuing warrantless spying?
Well, you know, he's saying that they're going to continue it.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that, I'm shocked and horribly disappointed. And what else can I say except that that's not who I was voting for?
Well, what about Barack Obama when it comes to the military? He says he wants a bigger U.S. military and wants to go into more nations like Afghanistan.
I would call upon him to read Eisenhower's last speech and hear what a general had to say about involving us in the military-industrial complex and how this country won't be free until we break free from that imposition of the military-industrial complex. It probably continues to will feed the warrantless spying on Americans. It will continue having us shed lives, both foreign and domestic, in outside our national territory. And if it's going to be war as usual, then I wasted a vote again.
Well, Mr. Asner, have you seen the reports about how they plan to put 20,000 combat troops on the streets of America to, quote, deal with insurrection and economic collapse?
Yeah, I realize that came under George Bush. And does President Obama plan to maintain that facility?
Oh, yes. He says he's going to expand it.
Expand it. put more troops on American streets?
Yes, sir.
Well, then, once again, another disappointment I look at.
It sounds like a Twilight Zone episode.
It does. It does. And I read a comment the other day that I think sums it all up, that when white men, as usual, have screwed up our country, that the people in a silent mass think they will resort to trying an outlier, such as a woman or a minority race, to see if the cards can be shuffled again. And I think in this particular case, as we've seen with Colin Powell, as we've seen with Condoleezza Rice, I believe Harry Belafonte referred to Colin Powell as a plantation-type person.
So did Ralph Nader. He said, I hope that Barack Obama will be this great leader and do the right thing. But if he doesn't, he's going to be an Uncle Tom. And then he was attacked for that, but that's just a historical term, going back to a novel written about that, as you know. So, and the media sure piled on to Ralph Nader.
Well, you know as well as I know that when you speak unconventional truth, the media will come in like a pack of whores.
Ed Asner, that brings me to my next question. The newspapers are imploding. Television ratings are imploding. The people in every major poll do not trust the corporate-controlled media anymore. How long can the establishment go on doing things that are unconstitutional and 180 degrees away from what the people want? I mean, the parlor trick of a black president, if there's no substance, as you were saying, that's going to wear off very quick. So where is this crisis of confidence going when Congress has a 9% approval rating but just continues to go against the people?
Well, I think what we're witnessing, Alex, is the end of the American empire. It affects your average American with the unemployment and the collapse of the the financial sector in our country, with the gross unemployment, the balance of trade, the dollar still being maintained as the world's currency, but it's a lie while it's being maintained. I think that the American people in general are in a state of shock and awe, not knowing where to turn, how to develop resources to combat this. They've lost the ability to organize and to march and to demonstrate and to protest, because they are in many ways scattershot thinking. Some will be fascist, some will be communist. And finding unity in the people is probably one of the most difficult objects to pursue right now, because of all the creature comforts Americans have enjoyed up until this point. I guess when we suffer enough, maybe out of that will come a leader who will point out the fatal flaws of this structure and set enough people afire to try to correct it. We'll never have a perfection. No country can possibly expect perfection, because it's dependent upon man.
But this is the opposite of perfection.
I know. It is chaos.
Well, I mean, exactly. It's a bunch of...
People will wander around trying to find their ass with either hand. until finally inspiration, if we're lucky, settles upon us, so that we can find some unity, some concerted thinking some concerted action. My fear is that with this chaos, what comes out of chaos generally? A dictatorship. And the steps that you elicited before are certainly initial steps towards dictatorship. And if we find that dictatorship, it more than likely will be a fascist dictatorship.
Well, sir, you just stole my thunder. That was my next question. Generally, when an empire implodes, the paramilitary criminal forces that enforced its empire implode back like a dwarf son back to the original nation, and then engage in predatory activity at a higher level against their domestic population. And that's what I see. Obama as a puppet, a marionette, just like Bush was the military-industrial complex. And that's why the corporates put him in as a bait and switch, believing that they can carry out a dictatorship of the plutocrats, of the elite, with this, quote, liberal face as a window dressing. And I believe you're right. I believe that 9 times out of 10, unless we really speak out now, that this is going to turn into something really nasty.
I know. And the next year will be the most important year of all, I would say, because we'll see how the dice roll. And I don't have a great deal of confidence in their coming up 7.
Well, let's pray for it. But like Hunter S. Thompson said, pray to God, but row away from the rocks. So the old Bedouin saying, trust in God, but tie up your camel. What can we do to stop this from unfolding?
Well, keep supporting people like you who create the contrary views of what mass media covers us with. Keep trying as individuals to seek the truth, to find the truth, to find the sources of truth. Thank God for email, where we can fall privy to unconventional thinking. And until they find the way to make it conventional, we should take advantage of it as much as possible.
That was my next question. It's like you're pressing it with Ed Asner here, folks. The attack on free speech, the attack on the web, they're openly announcing Internet Tube, which they are saying will restrict free speech. Our final segment with legendary film star Ed Asner. All right, folks, we are back live and going straight back to our guest, Ed Asner. I appreciate coming on the show, and I wish him a great new year coming up, 2009. Ed, you brought up the Internet and their attempt to restrict it. As you know, I'm sure they want Internet too, where the Internet is given to private corporations, and then the old Internet is allowed to basically be phased out. They're then going to have a government rating system over all the websites. That's the end of it right there. Are they going to tax and regulate it? How important is it to keep the Internet free?
It's the first bastion of freedom of speech at this point in time. And if the people allow it to be taken from them, then we can look upon Congress as a bunch of Roman senators, and Julius Caesar is at their head.
But Julius Caesar was really running something. I mean, do you think Obama's a puppet? Because, I mean, certainly they're bringing their legions into Rome. They've crossed the Rubicon. They're physically deploying troops in the U.S., but it just looks like Obama is literally just some little puppet.
Well, at this point in time, after what you've told me today, I will tend to agree with you. But at the same time, the man hasn't even taken office yet, so I'm waiting to see what the first bill of fare will have to offer.
Well, I think he's going to get...
Afghanistan is my biggest problem, and if he sucks himself into Afghanistan, as he says, then I think we're beyond hope.
Well, I'm sure you know they just announced last week they are sending an additional 30,000 troops. That's doubling the number.
Yeah. Yeah. While our European allies are doing everything possible to expedite their departure.
Well, why would we want to be in Afghanistan? I mean, what is the point?
I suppose to prove to the Islamic world that we are still number one. I mean, if you're going to prove it anywhere, it's not going to be in Israel or the West Bank. It's going to be in Afghanistan. And, of course, with our bombing attacks, both on the Pakistani border and in Afghanistan itself, innocents are killed constantly while they're doing that. And that merely increases geometrically the number of potential Talibanis.
Well, that's it. I had General Hamid Ghul, the former head of the forces against the Russians with the CIA, and he said that the CIA knows that when they bomb every week weddings on purpose, that's the biggest insult, that that's meant to stir the jihadis up.
Well, what is the old expression? Let everybody kill everybody, and the last man alive is king.
Exactly. Ruling from a dung heap, man. So where do you see this going? Obama, he's keeping Gates on. I mean, what does that say right there?
I don't get, you're going to get a military man in. He's not going to be a Jehovah's Witness preacher. So that I expect of a military man, at least his hands aren't as dirty as the previous Secretary of Defense.
I agree with you there. Oh, Rumsfeld was so evil, is so evil. You know, in closing, Ed Asner, I want to get you back up in the sometime in the new year for a full hour so we can take calls. I grew up being such a big fan of you. I was watching old Mary Tyler Moore videos online the other day, because you can now get them off iTunes. And I was watching Ted Knight. And, I mean, obviously that was a character he was playing, but I just love Ted Knight. Can you say something about the late, great Ted Knight?
Well, the delight in working with Ted Knight was seeing how he differed from Ted Baxter. And he created that role, believe me. He was the embodiment of that role. And the best story I can tell you is that in the second year or so, he came into one of our producers, Alan Burns, and he was griping and groaning, and he said he just didn't want to keep on doing it because he couldn't stand the thought of people thinking that he was as dumb and as vain and egotistical as Ted Baxter. And our producer, spent a half hour convincing him how respected he was and how admired he was and how people did not confuse him with the character. And finally, he had him convinced. At that point, the other producer, Jim Brooks, walked in and said, "Hey, Ted, I'm the feel to be thought of as the biggest schmuck in the world."
Oh, well, Ed Asner will have you on in the first few months of the administration if you'll do it. And I asked you what website you thought we ought to plug, and you said Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and that's good because we've got them on next hour. Ed Asner, thank you so much, sir.
My great pleasure. Thank you, Alex.
Take care.
Ira Haynes, call him drunken Ira Haynes, he will answer anymore. Not the whiskey.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I want to go to your phone calls before this hour ends. We're going to have open phones on the subject of the government-sponsored terror attacks of 9/11 with Kevin Ryan. A lot of new bombshell revelations and research dealing with who blew the towers up and how. People are like, oh, that's 7 years ago. That's what operatives say. They've built the entire New World Order police state empire agenda on those staged terror attacks. And if we don't expose that those were staged, and if we don't at least convict the enemy in the court of public opinion, the corporate raiders that are taking over the United States are going to get away with it, and they're going to be able to stage more terror attacks. This is life and death. This has got to be done now. And we are going to continue with the new evidence and the investigation, and we are never going to surrender. and we are going to bring the people to justice that carried out these attacks. There's been a lot of new big developments, like firefighter commanders on tape saying, yeah, the government was preparing to bring the building down, Building 7. Yes, you know, we had a plan to bring the building down. Of course they blew up Building 7, but the point is we're going to continue with the evidence of that. Interesting to get Ed Asner on today. I wanted to get him on to talk about Obama and his sellout, but we're going to have him on in a few months after that's even more obvious, because Ed's a, you know, leader in the progressive movement, as they call it, and that's going to be important because I know he'll tell it like it is when Obama completely shows himself as a treasonous, larcenous traitor and a front man puppet of the New World Order. We'll have folks like Ed Asner on to speak about it. I will continue with your phone calls at 1-800-259-9231 coming up here in a few minutes. But I did want to encourage listeners out there to take advantage of the holiday special at PrisonPlanet.tv. I've decided to keep the special going for just a few more weeks, where you can get 5+ months free when you go to PrisonPlanet.tv, and you get all 20 of my films. You get Fabled Enemies, Jason Burmes' film that I produced. You get my weekly TV reports, my in-studio reports, special sneak peeks, special expanded extras from my official films, like Endgame 1.5, over an hour and a half of extras not on the DVD. The films come out simultaneously on the first day at PrisonPlanet.tv, that the DVDs ship out, so you get to see it first at PrisonPlanet.tv, our new Obama film we're working feverishly on. It'll be out in late February, it looks like. Maybe early March, I'm not sure. Depends on how much sleep we lose around here. But I hope that you will get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership. And if you had one a few years ago and took advantage of the thousands of pieces of media on there, well, now there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of more. We're almost 5 years. In April, it'll be 5 years up and running. So we're 4¾ years up and operating at PrisonPlanet.tv. It is 15 cents a day. You can get a trial monthly membership for $5.95. It's so easy to do. You just go to PrisonPlanet.tv. And you just enter whatever your username and passcode is. And then voila, you have a PrisonPlanet.tv membership. Or get a yearly membership and get 5 months free. So you pay for 6.7 months and you get 5.3 months free. That's what the discount comes out to. And that's our holiday special, now the New Year special, running, I think, at least a week into the new year. So take advantage of that and get 5+ months free right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. And when it comes to waking up friends, family, and neighbors, the best thing to do is to give them the hard copies, the super high quality, you know, super high resolution, Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, Terror Storm, A History of Government-Sponsored Terrorism, Truth Rising, 9/11 Chronicles, or Fabled Enemies, or the other books and videos we carry, like The Late Great USA, or I mean, there's so many books and videos. The Money Masters, 3.5 hours, 2 DVDs, $19.95. We've got the GMO Food Trilogy, 2 films and an audio CD for $19.95. I mean, great deals at Infowars.com. And yes, your support of PrisonPlanet.tv, your purchase of the books and DVDs, especially makes everything we're doing here possible. I am fully aware that the economy is in shambles. But your purchase of the books and videos is what makes this radio show possible and our continued operation and hopefully expansion, because we understand that, you know, who's going to do it if we don't? I mean, we're having a big effect against the New World Order, and all of that is because those of you out there that have bought the books and videos and the PrisonPlanet.tv memberships and supported our sponsors. And so, again, the sponsors, the listeners, all of you together make this show possible, and I want to thank all of you. Now, on the financial end of the news, before I take some of the calls from Brian, Betty, Matt, Don, Jim, and others. You know, I hate to get up on air and say, see, I told you so, over and over again, because I don't take any pleasure saying, see, I told you they were getting the military ready to basically bring in martial law in the United States. I don't take any pleasure in being right about that, and now it's all over the news. I didn't take any pleasure being called a kook and a nut and a liar. I mean, I had so many other radio hosts when I do interviews, and newspapers call me an idiot, call me a liar, or say I was crazy. It wouldn't matter how many government documents I had, how many police chiefs or sheriffs or emergency managers I interviewed, how many times I got footage of urban warfare drills, how many times I got threatened over it or beat up over it. And now it's all happening. This long strategic plan is coming to a head, and it's horrifying. Because it's just going to get worse and worse until people grow up and deal with what's happening. I mean, remember FBI? Remember police when all your training manuals said we were crazy, none of this existed, and now it's just all it's all admitted? And they've been setting it up covertly for years, and you knew all about it, and you've decided to go with the New World Order? Well, maybe I'm your conscience. That's what the show acts for. You know, that's our job. Access. Just so you were put on notice that consciously, that you were reminded of your oath and reminded of what you were part of, so some of you can be on the side of good, and some of you, I guess, will make the conscious decision listening to this to serve evil or to rationalize what you're doing. But that little voice in your gut, a little voice in the back of your mind, it's telling you that I'm telling the truth. But you don't even have to trust your gut anymore. It's all out in the open. Now, in hundreds of third world countries, sometimes over and over again, in the case of Argentina, was first world, now third world, or Brazil, or in the case of Nigeria, or former first world nations like South Africa, this is done over and over and over again. The IMF and the World Bank come in, they buy off the government, they have the government sign loan sharking deals with the private IMF and World Bank, who then issue them currency, loans on currency that's out of thin air. They, in these secret IMF and World Bank agreements that have now been public, been in the BBC, one of many places it's been documented, they make a deal. They say, we'll give you this $2 billion, this $4 billion, this $5 billion bucks, backed up by U.S. taxpayers predominantly. We're about 60% of IMF World Bank investment. But private banks get the money to loan. You will be given this money. You will be given this cash. But you can't pay it back. And you've got to sign an agreement that when you don't pay it back at 30% interest, so $1 billion can turn into $50 billion in the case of Nigeria, it's like $1.5 billion, it's over $50 billion now, 20 years later, that everything, your mines, your roads, your land, your government buildings, everything is owned by us, and that the IMF and World Bank will control your country's curriculum, what your children are taught, what your Planned Parenthood operations are. That's all in State Department Memorandum 200. Well, now it's happening here. And we knew all of this globalism, all of this militarizing the police, all of this building up the prisons, all of this was getting ready to bring down the big prize, and that was the United States of America. And folks, almost every port is Chinese, Arab, German, Dutch, French owned. Almost every water district in the country is now foreign owned because it's foreign banks that own our private Federal Reserve. They own the money machines. And the globalists want to conquer this country, and they're doing it economically. But they know that it's illegitimate fraud, so that if we try to rise up and say no to the corporate takeover, they'll then sick the paramilitary police on us. It's real simple, police and military. You work for offshore criminals that have hijacked the nation. It's a corporate takeover. Do you understand that? You get that through your pea brain, and they're going to take your pension funds. Cash-strapped states way-selling roads and parks. And I've got a New York Times article about handing over city buildings to them. Minnesota is deep in the hole financially, but the state still owns a premier golf resort, a sprawling amateur sports complex that citizens get to use that we paid for, a big airport, a major zoo, and land holdings the size of Central American country of Belize. Valuables like these are in for a closer look as 44 states cope with deficits. And see, they wrote this where it sounds like, oh, they don't need a golf course. You know, I love how they'll bitch and gripe all over U.S. news about a $250,000 renovation of the legislative lounge at the Texas Capitol. That's nothing. They need to have a nice lounge. World leaders go there, and I'm actually all for historic buildings being kept up. But see, they'll have everybody obsess over 240-something thousand or whatever it is, instead of trillions sucked out through the comprehensive annual financial reports out of Texas in the last 5 years alone to offshore banks. Oh, go ahead and steal trillions from Texas. Go ahead and go take state lands and give it to oil companies. Go ahead and just loot the state treasury. And then they'll have cops go out and squeeze money out of little old ladies for going 5 miles over the speed limit to then give that to the Texas Treasury, which then goes to offshore banks. By the way, you know, before the cops, if you're going 10 miles over the speed limit, they would give you a ticket. And that's reasonable. You know, that's could be dangerous. Now they wait on 360 for when you go down the hill on the hills, and they wait, it, you know, parked in the bushes for when you go downhill. And they're waiting, giving people tickets for going 5 miles over the speed limit. It's about squeezing money. Meanwhile, the government has completely been seized by private corporations and is engaged in mass crime in front of everyone, and nothing's happening. I digress. It doesn't matter. I want to go to your calls. But valuables like these are in for a closer look as 44 states cope with deficits. Yeah, don't cut back on the size of the stinking government. Or don't go get all the real investments in the comprehensive annual financial reports. God forbid that. Let's just continue sucking our thumbs here and allowing this to expand and just hand everything over. Then it goes into roads, water districts, schools. In New York, Democratic Governor David Patterson, who's just passed 88 new taxes, appointed a commission to look into leasing state assets, including the Tappan Zee Bridge, north of New York City, the lottery, golf courses, toll roads, parks, and beaches. Recommendations are expected next month. So, see, it's a fire sale. You see, these are key infrastructures, and there's been studies done with Indiana and Texas and New Jersey where they'll take a toll road that's worth $20 million in one case, and they'll sell it for $500 million. So, see, this isn't even selling assets. This is just basically acting like they're allowed to rob the bank. Oh, you paid me a dollar. I'm the bank teller, so I give you a million. You know, they're just acting like there's a transaction going on here. The people that put them in office are now saying, okay, give me everything. And they're going, here's the roads, here's the water districts, here's the power plants, here's everything for one penny on the dollar. And it lists everything. It's just everything. Just roads, schools, government buildings, just total thievery. And that's why they're shifting over to mercenaries, because you've literally got just kingpins, private corporations with their own private armies who are above the law and above the military and police. I mean, this country is literally turning into Mad Maxville, and the public hadn't figured this out yet. They're still, and again, I'm not bashing football, ladies and gentlemen. People keep thinking that I'm against sports itself. I'm against that people cry and yell and scream and get upset over football or baseball or basketball, but they don't care that their whole birthright has been stolen from them. And they think it's manly to be into sports. It's manly to care about liberty and freedom and not be a schmuck and be involved and informed and stand up for your nation and your people and to not be a slave. It's manly to be involved in humanity and standing up for the innocent. It's manly to stand up against the CPS kidnapping children outside due process. It's manly to expose the government as illegitimate and ships in the narcotics into this nation. It's manly to fight the New World Order. I want to go to Ted Anderson right now. Ted, all over the world, the head of the IMF, the head of the World Bank, the head of the Canadian government, the head of the British government. I watched CNN this weekend. They had all these financial advisors on the show with that Bilderberg Group reporter on there. And they're the ones fear-mongering. They're the ones 9-10 weeks ago that said we were going to have a depression if people didn't pass the banker takeover. That killed all final confidence. The economy has had its blood supply turned off. And still, I don't think the public realizes how serious this is, Ted.
I agree with you. I don't think they really do. I mean, everybody that's listening to this know this because they've been at their relative's house over the weekend, and they know that the subject matter is coming up and everybody's concerned about the economy, but they don't understand the concept of how serious this really is. You know, you watch, like you were reading all these different solutions to the problem. Let's sell off the golf courses and sell off the lotteries and just have a fire sale, a big garage sale of all the assets of the United States of America so we can bail out our problems. And nobody, you know, in the mainstream media is willing to address the real problem that's causing this, and that's this banking economy that we have, the Federal Reserve System and the foreign ownership and the IMF, just like you're saying, Alex. Well, for some reason, it's like there's a big elephant in the room and they want to tiptoe around it. They don't want to go,
well,
okay,
Ted,
there's
this
the real.
This is classical looting. When you've got a $20 million road over the 50 years and they sell it for $500 million, this is like selling a house for $10 when it's worth $1 million. They're not, this is just looting and thieving and stealing as private interests that have gotten all their goons in power hand over all the infrastructure to them, just like when Russia collapsed in the mid-90s and the oligarchs came in and, you know, one guy for $10 million would buy $1 trillion worth of oil. He was just given it. The Rothschilds are looting this country. Stay there. You understand, folks, they're taking infrastructure that will pay money generation after generation, and irrevocably, in many cases, they're just selling it to foreign interest. And they're the foreign interest that took all the comprehensive annual financial report money, that took the tens of trillions, that took the, it's got to be well over 10 trillion, 8.5 trillion is the last number we got 3 weeks ago, of banker bailout money. And the bankers are just telling Congress, sit down and shut up, we own and run everything. And then meanwhile, they're taking that money. I mean, there's so many different levels of fraud. Number one, they own the government, so the governments are giving them the infrastructure for pennies on the dollar. But then the money they've got to buy it up was stolen from us to begin with, and we've got to pay that money back in taxes. I mean, these people run scams that, Ted, I mean, these are quadruple scams.
It makes a Ponzi look like a saint. Is what it does. I mean, the United States of America, for whatever reason, handed over the power to create its own currency to this group in 1913.
And now they've just gone completely wild. I mean, now they're just, Ted, I'm going to shut up because we're almost out of time, and I want to come back and take a few calls and get our guest on, and I just keep foaming at the mouth on this subject. Bottom line, you've got gold and silver at prices that no one's going to find it because gold is up over $180 the last 3 weeks. It's up $50 from last week, $45 from last week. Last time I checked, it's up at like 870 something today. But Ted, you bought gold when it was low. Now, you were selling it a few weeks ago at $700 price when it was 750. Now it's 870 something, and you're selling it at what level?
Well, here's what I have. I've got the francs. They're at 205, which is only $2 higher than they were when I was talking about the francs last time.
So what level is that factor?
Well,
in
that gets
775.
Yeah, 775, right around that range. Because you know,
and so you have gold priced in $100 cheaper than it's being sold for right now.
British sovereigns again, just $2 more than what they were, 254. I mean, the thing about it is, Alex, is that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that you got to buy in these dips. And I'm buying as much as I can. And I just, you know.
How long will that hold out?
We'll hold that up until tonight for sure. And then maybe who knows? I mean,
let's be clear. People didn't listen when you were selling it for 704 when it was 750. Now it's, you know, 880 and you're selling it at a 775 level. It's only going to go up, ladies and gentlemen. That's what all the smart money's on because they're debasing the dollar. They're destroying the United States. At least you can hurt the banker bastards by not letting them catch you individually with your pants down. What do you got on the silver front, Ted?
Well, the silver, again, same coin I was offering before. The Walking Liberty half is at 840. And I can't say it enough. Alex, gold or silver went up over $11 today, and that price hasn't changed.
So you still got it factored in from when silver was a lot less. How long can you hold on the half dollars?
Well, the half dollar is going to be good. I picked up about 10 bags of those, and as soon as those are sold, then I'm done.
And then you got one more. You got 50 more of the buffaloes, which you can't find anywhere except for huge premiums. There is no premium on these. Ted is selling you these for what he got them. In fact, I was talking to Ted this weekend. Ted has some deals. I'm not going to say the name of the deal where it's actually under. But the point is, I'm afraid to even plug it. We can't offer that one deal, can we, Ted?
Well, I don't have enough to go around. I mean, I've got a few small little coins here and there. We advertise them on the commercials. People call, they get them.
Well, the bottom line is, folks, you cannot beat the deal on the buffaloes. They have 50 of them, 800-686-2237. The brokers will be there until midnight tonight. Give them a call. This is the radio special, or you're going to be paying $100 more an ounce factored in. Get last week's prices today. Gold up at 880 right now, 875 right now, and you can get it at the 775 level, 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. Ted Anderson, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me up, Alex.
Yeah, we've got it. You know what? Stay there. I'm going to come back and let you finish up about the Federal Reserve.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
You know what I've got to do? I've just got to have a day this week or two where there's no guest. We already had Ed Asner on. We've got Kevin Ryan coming up for 50 minutes. I've got the young man in high school fighting the New World Order, Robert Wanick. We got Tommy Pallotta in studio, a Hollywood producer, anti-New World Order guy. He was in town right now. Lives in the Netherlands now, over there working with a film company. And I thought, why not have you in studio? You know, orbit through town once a year. Might as well have you in studio. So that's coming up for the last 40 minutes today. We're going to go live at PrisonPlanet.tv. In about 5-6 minutes, starting the next segment for the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. But Ted, you try to get on the air, and then I end up hyperventilating and talking over you. I cannot describe how unbelievable it is as everything is handed over to private corporations who then operate as governments. Not only do the bankers get all the roads, the land, everything, they then are given government power. And then I guess this is too complex for the general public to figure out. I mean, this is off the charts, Ted. They're looting us worse than a third world nation. They are beating us like a redheaded stepchild.
Well, that's the sick part of this whole thing. I mean, first of all, the money itself, the paper currency that we trade in our pockets is really made out of cotton. We grow that cotton. With that money, that cotton that's grown and turned into a fabric gets sent over to Washington, D.C., right through the Bureau of Engraving. The government does print the money, but they can't even use the money. They have to send it over to the Federal Reserve, and then they have to take it back on loan, and we have to pay that interest in taxes to service the debt on that loan. I mean, it's crazy. It's our labor that created it in the first place. Why do they get it for nothing? And then why do they get to lend it to us? I mean, And then you take it a step further than that. I mean, these people are siphoning off the very wealth of this entire nation, and now we're turning to them for help. I mean, my God, what we need to do is get rid of them. That's why I say it's like having an elephant in the room. I watch this, all the mainstream media talking about solving the problem this way. Now you're talking about having a garage sale. Who do you think we're going to sell these assets to? They're going to own us. They already do. We work for them. When you pay your taxes, you're working 40, you know, you're working
when
40
you
to 50%.
When you pay your taxes, you write Federal Reserve. It is a private bank. We are conquered. And they still say the New World Order doesn't exist. They're not putting troops on the streets while they announce it. See, that's psych warfare. We're putting troops on the streets. It's for your own good. It doesn't exist. Anyone that says it exists is crazy. I mean, this is such an insult. And you know, Ted, of course I'm pitching gold and silver here, but I believe in it passionately. I told people buy it when it was $300 an ounce 6 years ago. You know, it's been up to 1,100. It's headed that way again. Regardless, at least it's got some real value. That's what this is all about, ladies and gentlemen. And I just hope that people will protect themselves, Ted.
Yeah, they certainly do need to protect themselves, because the institutions they've relied upon all these years are not protecting them. They need to get themselves on a gold standard. They need to put their own money into a gold standard, because the nation is not going to do it for them, which is what should be
happening. Look, we're not getting the nation back till we admit we have been totally conquered by an offshore banks. They've used corporate takeover tactics to take over. That's why the Federal Reserve has their minions at every public school, every college, and on media, telling everybody that we're the government, we love you, we're going to fix the banking crisis, when they have engineered the whole stinking thing, because they know they either take the whole world, they either go for broke, or they're going to go to prison. They have passed the point of no return. It's like they've already robbed one bank, why not rob 10? They are going for broke. They have nothing to lose, and they're using Northcom to hold the American people hostage. It's not our government. It's not our military. And the military needs to realize that and realize they've been hijacked, because they're only destroying their own future. Give Ted's brokers a call at 800-686-2237 for gold, $100 below what it's currently selling for. That's the price it's factored in at. Ted, thank you so much for coming on with us.
Thanks, Alex, for having me up.
800-686-2237. We'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are live here at PrisonPlanet.tv for the next hour and 51 minutes of the four-hour radio show we do live every weekday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, 4 hours live. But again, we go live in the last 2 hours of the radio show at PrisonPlanet.tv for all the folks watching out there on the Internet. We're also developing this show for cable and satellite television in the next few months, as well as another TV program that we are developing here out of the same studios. We're joined for the next 50 minutes by Kevin Ryan. Kevin Ryan, of course, was an engineer working in underwriting laboratories and discovered internal studies that had been done by the underwriters, which is underwriting laboratories of the towers, that clearly showed that fire could not have brought those buildings down the way that the government was claiming. So he tried to get them to go public. They wouldn't. He wrote a letter to them publicly about it, and they fired him. So I think it's better for Kevin Ryan to introduce himself, some of his background, the saga he's been through, and the amazing research he's done, not just into thermite and thermate and explosives and the testing of that, but who at NIST is involved in the cover-up. They just so happen to be thermite experts in their own right, with NASA and other groups for missile coupler separation seals and a lot more. So and it's been about 6 months since he dropped those original bombshells here on air. He, of course, works with Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth and other groups, and we are very, very honored to have Kevin Ryan on the show with us today. Kevin, good to talk to you again.
Hi, Alex. It's good to be with you again.
You bet. You've got the floor. Describe a little bit about yourself, kind of a recap of this quest you've been on and what it's led you to today and the latest developments.
Okay. I was, as you said, fired from Underwriters Laboratories, and that was over 4 years ago in 2004. And I had been questioning them for about a year or so about the fire resistance testing that they did 40 years before for the World Trade Center towers. They had done fire resistance testing of the steel components used to build the World Trade Center towers, and the CEO had told us about it, and I had spoken with the fire resistance testing manager at the time about it, and they were reluctant to share that information publicly. So we were asking myself and one or two others in the UL about that testing and why the towers could possibly have failed from fire as a result. And couldn't get any answers from the upper management. So I went ahead and wrote a letter to the National Institute of Standards and Technology after I saw one of their draft reports, which I think we've seen now over the years leave a lot lacking. The NIST reports are completely false. Each one of them has been false, and they've contradicted each other. But when they first put out a draft report in October 2004, I wrote them a letter that got me fired from Underwriters Laboratories, where I was laboratory manager and the top manager for one of their divisions. I've since done a lot of writing and research on 9/11, become the co-editor of the Journal of 9/11 Studies with Stephen Jones a few years ago, and I am a member of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. We also have a local group here where I live called the 9/11 Working Group. And so I do a lot of writing and research, presentations around the country, and whatever I can to get the truth out about 9/11.
Why did you first question the collapse of the towers as an engineer? And then let's walk through the evidence of cover-up, trying to suppress you and others, and the and kind of a recap of the evidence that has come out that continues to make a compelling case for controlled demolition. And then the new research that's been developed that is, well, in a whodunit sense, bombshell. But then this isn't a whodunit. This isn't, some PBS mystery theater. This is the real world. This is inside job material, and this shakes the very foundation of our world to its core.
Well, yeah, and the reason I first started questioning it was for, I think, a number of the reasons that you do what you do, Alex, and trying to get the word out and getting people prepared for a pretty big transition here in society. And, it's coming. There's nothing we can really do about it, but it is important to be aware of the facts of what has happened over the last few years and try to prepare ourselves for the future. And the first things that I noticed were, if this steel has been tested for fire resistance for a number of hours, in fact, in furnaces at temperatures that exceeded the temperatures that we all agreed actually existed in the towers, then how could the towers have failed from fire? Those questions were not answered, and they still have not been answered. The NIST group has done a lot of tap dancing about the issue, and they've given us a number of false stories.
I was about to say, they're constantly changing their story. It's always something new, and now they are admitting free fall of Building 7. They're having to admit molten steel. I mean, the laws of science are against them.
Yeah, absolutely they are. And ultimately they do have to admit all those things, but there was a presentation that was occurring since 2002 when they started their report, their investigation, and then this year when they finally put out the World Trade Center 7 report. It was always kind of a piecemeal presentation, almost as if they were asking us, do you believe this? They'd have a public media presentation, and they'd say, what about this?
Trial balloons.
Yeah. and some of us, like myself, would speak up and say, hey, no, that's not going to work. And then they'd come up with something different. And with World Trade Center 7, is nothing more blatant than that. I mean, they came up with the diesel fuel story. It was certainly the diesel fuel, and all of the major media reported this over and over again. Or it was the scooped out theory, the towers had fallen.
And they've now reversed themselves on all of that. Then it was shoddy construction when the building was overbuilt, as you know. Have you seen the new video with Brian Williams on there interviewing the deputy fire chief, one of the commanders, who says, well, we were ready to bring it down. There was talk of us bringing it down ourselves. How many videos does it take of police and firemen saying the feds were getting ready to bring it down? I mean, not just Silverstein. I mean, do we have to have like a footage of Bush with a plunger?
Right. The extent of the cover-up is really so incredible. And I think that's part of the value of 9/11 Truth. I'm interested in how this much deception could have been carried on for so long, and how each of us as the listeners of this story, you know, kind of participated, or some of us, in allowing it to be just a huge lie for so long. So I'm interested in that sort of thing as well, but mainly the physical research that we're doing now has to do with the alternative hypothesis, and now really the only, not only hypothesis, but theory, since it's got so much evidence, the demolition theory, or what I call the deceptive demolition theory, so that people don't forget that there was, it's really based on deception.
Now, this is like the theory of gravity. It's been proven, but it, you know, they kind of call it a law, but it started out as a theory. You know, the public thinks conspiracy and theory, that number one, there's no government conspiracies, though history's full of them. And, you know, Nixon got in trouble for a government conspiracy. And then they said there's no such thing as theories. Well, we know the official theory of why these towers turned into matchsticks and dust. We know that's a fraud. So we set about going, okay, what does the evidence show is the most probable hypothesis? And there you have it.
Right, and it's not going to be extremely simple. It's not going to be simply the question of whether planes brought the buildings down or somebody just decided to do a typical demolition of the World Trade Center towers. That's not the question. The question is, did the planes bring the buildings down, which we know is not true, or did somebody fly planes into the buildings in order to present the idea that the planes brought the buildings down while doing a deceptive demolition? And so if we keep all that in mind, part of the deception is having a fire exist where it would not have otherwise existed. Other parts are creating fire in the elevator shafts that is so extreme that it would weaken the core of the buildings. And also very likely, from what we've heard from testimony, explosions in the basements as well. So it was a complicated process.
Which, by the way, were preparatory. Those are way before the main collapse was initiated with the towers, with the top-down demolition versus the classical or more classical bottom-up situation with Building 7. I want to come back with Kevin Ryan and, Kevin, have you walk through that and then all the new thermite information that you have. But, I mean, stepping back from this, do you ever wake up at 3 a.m. at night sweaty like I do or freaked out? You know, consciously we know it's an inside job. The evidence shows that. But to like come to grips kind of like, you know, when you're not conscious and awake and psychologically dealing with it, when it kind of floods in of, oh, my God, people run the government that really killed 3,000 people. And I mean, these are wild men to pull off something of this daring in front of everyone. I mean, these people, what else are they capable of?
Yeah, that's a good question, but I like to think that we're still in the majority, Alex. I mean, the American people and the people of the world who are genuinely honest and interested in survival still have a chance, in my opinion, so we need to get the word out.
Well, I know this. I mean, about every few weeks I wake up 3, 4 a.m. covered in sweat thinking about 9/11, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm this prominent person fighting murderers who will just kill 3,000 people like that to get power and to be able to launch wars. And it's real. I mean, they really did it. And it just hits me like a ton of bricks. And I've got to just literally cry out to God for support or I couldn't continue on. Stay there, Kevin Ryan. We appreciate your courage. All right, folks, we are here back live with Kevin Ryan. Phone calls on 9/11 Truth, government-sponsored terror, you name it, coming up in the next segment at 1-800-259-9231. I see Betty Dunn and many others that want to speak to our guest, Kevin Ryan, formerly with Underwriting Laboratories, an engineer who found out about all this stuff. And look, I mean, you can't. Dealing with reality, you can't just say, well, it's too scary to know it's an inside job. I'm just going to say it's not true. I mean, that is a lot to deal with, and I've had to deal with it. You know, I had to tell you about the attacks before they happened, so the feds are going to go after the World Trade Center. I could see them on TV preparing the public. I mean, it doesn't take a mathematician to understand this stuff, but here we are. So, Kevin, continuing with your awakening, the evidence, NIST is all over the map now. And then that really key research you've done on the thermite with Dr. Stephen Jones and others.
Right. So Dr. Jones came on the scene in 2005 and was just a very strong scientific, credible scientific speaker in terms of what he was finding. And since then, Dr. Jones and myself and others have proven beyond question, I think, and others before us, that the towers and World Trade Center 7 were brought down with explosives. There's no question about that. The additional information was the development of the thermite or thermite theory from Dr. Jones, and that's because he was able to find residues and test them and show that they were chemically identical to the residues from thermite explosions.
And by the way, separately, the government's own reports buried in the data was the sulfidation and other chemical interactions right. that he had separately found in his own research. So a lot of what you guys have done is seconded in the real government research, not just the official spin they put out.
Absolutely. It's supported by official reports of various kinds. But then we started looking into what are called nanothermites, and these are more explosive versions of thermite that are built around components that are on the nano scale. So nano aluminum and sometimes also nano metallic powders, metallic oxides that are mixed with the nano aluminum. And there's one reason that these are very useful, in my view. They ignite at much lower temperatures. They are explosive, very much so. And also, they create fire, as I suggested, where fire would not otherwise have existed. They're also applicable to this situation in that if you look at where the fireproofing upgrades and the elevator work was done in the 2 years before 9/11, you find out that the floors where fireproofing upgrade was done match up very, very well, almost exactly, if not exactly, with the floors of impact and fire and failure, or so-called failure, in the towers. And so that,
I mean, that shows massive forethought and just sickening premeditated nature.
Really, and so that just, you know, it becomes an easy path almost when you look at that and you say, well, a very strong part of the theory now is that nanothermites, which are sprayable, can be coated. And they're coatings.
And the workers even think they're putting on new fireproofing.
I think it's very possible that the idea is that they could be told that it's intumescent paint, which is a fireproofing type of paint, or other types of fireproofing materials. And even the Port Authority's consultant, Burrow Happold, an engineering company from the United Kingdom, suggested to them at the time when they're doing these upgradings that they use alternative materials. So they didn't explain what those alternative materials are.
And it would sure help if it was a spook building with every major federal intelligence agency in it, and it magically was the government's command bunker.
Yeah, World Trade Center 7 was had some very interesting tenets, that's for sure.
CIA, FBI, Defense Intelligence.
Yeah, so we look more into these nanothermites, and I've been making them, actually. Been making them now. I made a couple of formulations that were published by Lawrence Livermore National Labs, and I've been examining a lot of the World Trade Center dust samples and looking surprise, I guess, at how similar these materials look when you look at them under a microscope.
And then NIST, just, and we're going to come back in a long segment, and I want you to break this down slowly, sir. It just so happens that NIST has been acting like they don't know what you're talking about, but they happen to have some nanothermite experts working there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's amazing who the president appointed to lead NIST during the investigation. We can talk about that when you're ready.
Yeah. Well, since they're such explosive thermite experts with NASA, why don't we – I mean, have you had a chance to talk face-to-face with these nice people? Because I know you go to some of these events. I want to hear about this with Kevin Ryan, the engineer, who's bringing down the New World Order lie. Stay with us. This is so important, folks. Call your friends. He's with Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. He works with Dr. Stephen Jones and others. There's several different organizations, but we'll put up some of the websites on screen if you want to learn more. You were trying to give out some websites before we went to break, Kevin or Ryan, for people to look at the explosive nano thermite you've made that mirrors the government programs. We know the Pentagon's worked with this, NASA's worked with this, and the folks at NIST should know all about it because just so happens of only maybe 10 experts in the world, you've got a couple of them that just so happen to be given the investigation. So I would imagine they want to work with you since this is their line, their specialty, their signature. We know they want to help America capture the terrorist. So, Kevin, continue with the spheres themselves and then, lo and behold, top experts in the world involved running the cover-up, investigation. Kevin, Ryan, please continue because we're really getting close now, aren't we?
I think so. And if you go to the Journal of 9/11 Studies, I published a paper, one of my own papers was published there, called The Top 10 Connections Between NIST and Nanothermites. And it steps through the top 10 connections.
Give that site out for folks. We're going to put it on screen.
It's the Journal of 911Studies.com, Journal of 911Studies.com.
All right, we've got it on screen. Please continue.
And I think the paper is from July of this year, but it steps through an explanation of nanothermites, and it talks about how NIST was working with Lawrence Livermore National Laboratories as early as 1999, I believe earlier than that, but that documentation is important. But you can get all the references from this paper. You don't have to take my word for it. Step through it and see that NIRC is very closely working on nanothermites. And they had people like Foreman Williams, who is their lead engineer on their advisory committee and also is the biggest engineering expert for Popular Mechanics. And he is an expert on just these sorts of materials.
So he's the Hearst publishing expert.
Yeah, I suppose. That's Popular Mechanics is a Hearst publication.
Foreman Same Williams, folks that said you supply the pictures also supply the war.
Yeah. Yeah, the yellow journalism. So
we always joke and say in the encyclopedia next to the word dumbass, there's a picture of you. But I mean, literally in the encyclopedia next to yellow journalism is a picture of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, a lot of people still believe it, what they say. And that's just a matter of being able to close your mind enough to buy what you were already going to buy.
Well, they're clearly operatives. Please continue.
Well, you know, there's Science Applications International, which is a very large engineering consulting and other defense consulting company that was very heavily involved in the NIST investigation, and they're experts on this sort of material. They also first investigated the 1993 World Trade Center bombing.
Oh.
And it was their analysis that kind of produced those responsible, the official story. They were also responsible for helping out with the security upgrades at the World Trade Center in the late 1990s. So this Science Applications International, SAIC, company is connected in every possible way. They're connected through their former employees, Jerome Hauer and Stephen Hatfield, to a number of things like the anthrax incidents and the Rudy Giuliani administration. But these directors of NIST are most interesting to me. One of them is Arden Beemont, who is a materials expert and metallurgist. So, I mean, this is right up his alley. He's a former Deputy Secretary of Defense and former director of DARPA's materials office, former executive at TRW. And there's just all sorts of connections. Battelle, he's a director at Battelle, which is an organization that manages the national laboratories, including Fort Detrick and Lawrence Livermore. And
all these thermite experts, they're just directing giant companies, but they are coming in to help with the 9/11 investigation. Isn't that nice of them?
Absolutely. October 2001, right after the attacks, is when George W. Bush nominated Beemont to be the head of NIST. When Beemont was ready to move on, which is a few years later, Bush nominated Hratch Simurgian to be his replacement. He was the director of NIST Chemical Division, and he is somebody who is a nanothermite expert and wrote 10 papers with the world's leading nanothermite expert, Michael Zachariah, used to be a NIST employee as well.
Wow, you'd think that this is like a class get-together of world thermite experts.
Well, I don't know, but there certainly are enough of them that you could make the
suggestion.
Is this
a thermite or thermate convention going on? I mean,
Alex, to be serious, it's really apparent that these people were hired and brought into the investigation because they knew what not to look for. They knew what to avoid looking at. And they certainly did that. There was no testing per the national standard for fire investigation.
But it's more than that. I mean, who are you going to find in government who you can bring in to investigate something that's clearly an inside job? I mean, who do you bring in? You bring in people you know you can trust, people who were.
Yeah. Yeah. Very possibly.
I know you go to some of these events. I mean, do you ever have a chance to come over and get a hold of their hand and look in their eyes?
I haven't spoken to any of them directly, but, you know, I sent a very polite, professional letter to them back in 2004, never got a reply other than being fired, and have made several polite requests for discussions and have been turned down multiple times by NIST. So, I don't want to go to their homes or, you know, go to their offices necessarily. Oh, maybe I do, but I haven't done that yet.
Are there any other thermite experts that are all crowding around the investigation?
Well, I'm really interested in also people who were working on novel fireproofing, right? So we're talking about what alternative fireproofings may have been involved and how they could be related to nanothermite coatings. So Richard Gann, who was the guy who actually did the final editing for the NIST report, he was one of the top people, was working on a novel fireproofing project for a couple of years before 9/11, and he involved some of the world's leading experts on nanothermites.
You're working with fireproofing. You go out and hire nanothermite explosive experts. So how you coat the towers to make sure they don't burn.
Well, it's a very strong theory at this point, and if you're listeners, go to 9/11 Blogger. I put up a blog piece that has a slideshow of 26 micro photos. They're from a microscope. And you can see that half of them are nanothermite residues from materials I've made and ignited. And then the residues look identical or very nearly identical to the magnetic portion of the World Trade Center dust. So there's these red-orange chips, there's all these spheres, there's other types of molten formations, there's these vesicular formations, clearly the remnants of an explosion.
The slag.
Yeah, the slag material. So if you look at this slideshow at 9/11 Blogger, I think it'll be, and people like pictures, so we're unfortunately to some extent becoming almost an image-only society.
Yeah, soon we won't even use our thumbs, we'll just eat out of a McDonald's feed bag.
So I'm trying to reach out to the people who are more compelled by images than all the writing I've done, which is something for people who do a lot of reading. Yeah, these are long essays that I write, but they are interesting. But the photos are just really compelling. If you take a look at those, I think you'll see what I'm trying to say here. And apart from the photos and the writing, there is a large group of scientists now around the United States and in Europe, and in several laboratories in Europe, that are doing chemical and physical tests on the World Trade Center dust particles that we're finding. And, there's some fairly well conclusive papers being written, led by Stephen Jones at this point and others. Some newer, younger research scientists and some in Europe.
Well, Kevin Ryan, I want to get into that and take some calls, but I'll tell you what really let me know 2 years ago that you guys were onto something. The way the media attacked you and the way operatives, who I was already watching in the 9/11 truth movement, savagely went after you and Jones, they really showed who they were. The establishment is scared to death of this thermite research, and that now as you dig deeper in, and the who's who of explosive thermite and special fire coating are all bivouacked, cloistered around this, acting suspicious, and the NIST reports are all frauds. I mean, my God, we're dealing with some hardcore individuals here, and I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, you've got a lot of courage, my friend, and the people involved with you do, because because, I mean, this is the biggest whodunit ever. And you, I mean, we know now. I mean, this is, I mean, there isn't a grand jury out there that wouldn't call for a further investigation of this. I mean, these people are just wicked. I mean, to know that you guys have done the research that's got you one step away from having your hands on the perpetrators, that has got to really be bracing.
Yeah, just take a look at a three-way crossroads, and that is who had access to the buildings, who had access to the technologies, and who was involved in the cover-up. If you look at those three groups and try to find connections, and you'll find a good deal of connections,
God.
I think we'll start to find our culprits.
Well, I mean, what's so incredible, folks, we're on the air right now giving you just proof on a silver platter. And this is just the scientific evidence, and then, you know, these former deputy defense heads and, you know, all these spooks in a spook building, Building 7, all of this going on. Then you've got the firefighters and police saying, get back, we've been told they're bringing it down, and Silverstein slipping up and saying, we gave the order to bring it down and gave the order, watched it come down, to pull it. You know, we have all the, you know, the videos of cops live saying get back, not just the eyewitnesses now saying, yeah, I was a cop or I was a firefighter or I was an emergency worker. And they said, you know, it was on the radio, a countdown. And then I remember hearing on the news they were going to blow up 7. They go, no, we never said that. It fell on its own. I mean, this is incredible. Kevin Ryan, I mean, this is amazing. We have them. We have them. And I guess they're just counting on the public not being able to deal with the horror. And believe me, it horrifies. I mean, how did you deal with this? I mean, I know you're a scientist, an engineer, but how did you deal with it as the evidence just piles on the evidence? And then you know you're dealing with mass murderers here.
Yeah, it was an incredible shock for me in 2003 when I got it. And, yeah, I started working very heavily on investigating it myself and asking a lot of questions of people I knew. And of course, it was a serious blow to me to get fired from my job, and I had to take some time and take care of my family first before continuing. But it's been recently in the last year or two just something that I know needs to be done, okay? We know we have to figure out what happened. We have to communicate as much of it as we possibly can. And that's what we can do. And okay, you know, like you said, you ask God for help, and if that helps you, and it does help me, then that's what you do. And you just continue on doing the best you can.
No, literally, I would collapse if it wasn't for the higher power. And people can laugh at that out there, but I guess they haven't been in this type of psychological adversity to be coldly looking at the facts. I mean, Kevin, as you know, there's over 200 declassified examples where elements of the government have admittedly staged terror. So, I mean, they do it over and over again. They just did it so big on 9/11. And people say, well, let's just forget about it. It's too horrible. If we leave these people in power, they're unstable. What are they going to do next?
Right. So ultimately, there has to be a transition. There has to be a great change in our society. So we have to take responsibility for that. First of all, we have to take responsibility for the deception in our lives. That's what we're trying to do here. We take responsibility for that. Then we start building a new society. That has to happen. I'm afraid it has to happen. So, the most positive approach we can take, but definitely moving forward for ourselves and not expecting the government or whoever, powerful entities, to take care of things for us, because they're going to take care of things for us, but they're, as you say, they're not necessarily on our side.
Well, I mean, you know, $8.5 trillion stolen by offshore banks. They tell Congress you're not allowed to look at it. Bloomberg reports war powers has been declared by the Federal Reserve, is now running the country. We've got open announcements of 20,000 combat troops to be used against the American people. I mean, we're not in Kansas anymore.
Right. Yep. So what can we do? I mean, the things that I can do are investigate the events of 9/11, develop new technologies if possible for a new society. Those are things I'm interested in doing.
Absolutely. We commend you. People need to go get you guys have now done peer-reviewed studies as well by major scientific journals, have looked at your findings and found them to be accurate, and more are now being reviewed. You put a lot of work into this, you and Stephen Jones and other physicists and architects and engineers. I guess it's now up to the listeners to get these scientific reports and give it to other engineers, friends, and family, you know, that are in these fields. Because I really think it's the fact that this scientific debate is what's going to lead to really this being forced out into the open.
Yeah, it has made a difference. It's changing minds in areas that we haven't seen ready to change yet, and that's what the peer-reviewed scientific articles in what we call mainstream journals can do. So we can send those to any mainstream scientists, and they will be usually ready to look at that sort of stuff because it is published in a mainstream journal. It doesn't make them feel as if they're taking a risk to read something like that. So it does help.
Do you think the perpetrators are scared of you guys? I mean, obviously they are, but I mean, they've got to know that they're in trouble. They've got to know that even if they don't ever physically get arrested, that the word's getting out about them.
I don't know if they're afraid or not. Sometimes I wonder, I think, Alex, you've used the word endgame before, and so some of these folks think that it's a game. They're a little bit unconscious, I think, and they're not making decisions as if they're living in the real world with the rest of us. So I don't know really what they think.
Well, that is what Rove said. He said, we are history's actors. We control reality. And, you know, he told the press corps this and said, and we'll just change reality one day and we'll change it again and then you'll respond accordingly. Well, I got news for Karl Rove. I'm not going to go along with your phony reality, buddy.
All right. Reality is what it is. And it's our opportunity to find out what that is on our own. And Karl Rove doesn't make reality. I'm sure of that.
Well, I mean, look at Israel. They got repulsed in Lebanon, and now they're in Gaza. And I'm not getting in, you know, debate here about whose side. My point is that look at Napoleon, look at Hitler. The hubris comes to an end. The problem is a lot of times it crushes little people in the process. I want to come back, and I'll keep you 5 minutes after in the next hour if we can, so we can take a few calls. Are you game to do that? Stay another 15 minutes total, sir?
Sure.
Okay,
absolutely.
We'll have you till 5 after next hour. We're going to come back and go to Betty, Don, Dan, and a few others specifically. Poor Kevin Ryan, he's an engineer. He saw their internal reports about the towers. He tried to go public, and they fired him. Well, thanks to this hero, we're very close to identifying those who were involved in the master planning of the 9/11 attacks. The investigation continues. Stay with us. Kevin Ryan, before I talk to Betty, Don, Dan, and a few others, any other points you haven't added, any other key information that we haven't gone over here with the audience today?
I just wanted to remind people that the nanothermite theory is only part of the demolition theory, and that the World Trade Center is only part of the 9/11 truth movement. So there's a great deal of information people need to continue to investigate, and there's a lot of good books and movies out there that help us with that.
Well, it's classic black ops to have different teams, different operations, overkill. They certainly had multiple types of explosives in the towers. They did both the operations unconventionally, but seven is closer, correct? As an engineer, sir, closer to a classical?
Yeah, it's definitely, it looks very much like a classic demolition. So it was done differently, I would be sure of that, and we need to just get to whatever clues we can find. So when I'm looking at the intersection of people involved and the people who had access to technologies and the buildings and nanothermite residues, we're looking for clues, and we're going to dig those out and expose them as much as possible and then move on.
Well, I think the bigger issue here is, too, psychology. People don't understand a military mind, a commander-level mind. We're going back thousands of years ago. A general would put, you know, 500 of his cavalry or his ground troops to be captured to bring an enemy in so they could then destroy the larger force, knowing that the pawn sacrifice would be killed. And, you know, that's how back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, they had operations like Shad and others where they would nerve gas our own troops to death. And they found a group of doctors who would do that because they believed the end justifies the means. And so out of that mindset, They've created a military cadres that will do this. Well, America needs to get tough, and we need to stage a terror attack to get the people straight. I'm sad we got to kill 3,000, but it's for America. You know, it's for Israel. And, you know, that's really how you get this type of thing going on. You know, they'd tell them, we got to nerve gas our own troops because the Russians may use it, and the knowledge we gain here may save millions. And so they'd kill our own troops. But really, the test was about creating cadres of Army doctors that would do this type of crap. So let's go to the calls here. Betty in Wisconsin. Betty, you are on the air. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, Betty.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for Alex Jones' show and InfoWars and Prison Planet for being there. I got myself a subscription for Christmas. My question is, I'm reading this on the website for Kevin Ryan, a former UL manager, was fired for publicly questioning the NIST report? Was that NIST report?
Well, that's what we've been talking about, is this baloney report put out by explosive thermite experts from the Defense Department. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, the NIST is the National Institute of Standards and Technology, so it's a government agency that reports through the Commerce Department. Therefore, its directors are Bush appointees or presidential appointees, and they work directly for the president in that sense. But they are a repository for standards. They do investigations and in scientific ways of building failures and many other things.
When Congress gets involved, nothing much happens.
Yeah, well, Congress had a better investigation in 9/11. Then they had the Whitewash Commission appointed by Bush, and they had the nerve to say when they first had Henry Kissinger that it was independent. Your comments on the independent commission, Kevin?
Yeah, I think that the 9/11 Commission is a great thing to look into. Who are these people? I know one of them, James R. Thompson, is a former governor of Illinois. We know how honest the government in Illinois has been. But he was also the chairman of the law firm that UL hired to defend themselves in my lawsuit against them. That was interesting. There are other people like John Lehman who owned an explosives company in the late 90s. So I'm interested in a lot of these people.
Oh, very nice people. Stay there. We'll be right back in 70 seconds. All right, we are back live. Thank you so much for joining us already into the fourth hour today. We've got a young man fighting for 9/11 truth in the public schools, being persecuted for that. Coming up, and then Tommy Pilato of the last 40 minutes, good friend of mine, a Hollywood film producer, an expert on new media, to talk about that with us today. Don in Texas, you're on the air with a real American hero. That's right, it's not some football player, though that's enjoyable and fun to watch. This is a real hero risking his life, his name, losing his job to blow the whistle on the 9/11 inside job, Kevin Ryan. Don from Texas, you're on the air with Kevin Ryan.
Yeah, Kevin, Alex, God bless and keep you both for what you're doing. I saw the Trade Center collapse live on television, knew it for what it was by virtue of my military training in demolitions. And, Kevin, you just asked what we can do as individuals. You know, and you and Alex, you're doing it. We're all called to be therapeutic messengers, and we have the individual power to visualize at a cellular level and resonate what we know to be truth beyond technological means.
Well, we've just got to get the word out, period. And there is that whole 100th monkey that's been proven scientifically where you'll have a research island with monkeys. And as soon as a few of them learn it on this island, they spontaneously pick it up 20 miles away. But, you know, regardless, we're physically getting the info out, and I appreciate your calls, Don. Dan in New York, a final call for Kevin Ryan. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. I was wondering what would be the reasoning for the 9/11 attacks? Like, what were they planning? I know one of them is imperialization of the Middle East. But
actually, Zbigniew Brzezinski and the Grand Chessboard in 97 that was then plagiarized by the PNAC document, September 20th, 2000, Rebuilding America's Defenses, penned by Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, they're attributed to writing it on their own website, says trillions in no-bid weapons contracts, trillions in oil, unifying the people behind a Pax Americana or global empire, there's got to be an outside threat on the order of Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor killed 2,890-something people. So did 9/11. Coincidence? And then we have all these other government documents like Northwoods where they explain, we stage terror attacks, we blame it on foreign enemies as a pretext to take control of society, even declare martial law in America. Kevin Ryan, comments?
Yeah, I think you're right, Alex. And I think we just have to recognize, although it's difficult to believe, that there are people whose greed and whose thirst for power is just more than anything that they can deal with, and that they ended up just destroying everyone else around them. So that appears to be part of this, the situation with 9/11.
Yeah, they have a raw thirst for power, the raw exercise of power, and we have to have a desire and a thirst for justice. And that's what I have. That's what Kevin Ryan has. And again, Kevin, I'm telling you, people like you are my heroes, man. I just, you are such a hero to my whole family and to millions of people out there listening. I just salute you.
Hey, back at you, Alex. Keep up the good work.
Well, if it wasn't for people like you, I mean, they would have already staged more terror attacks, and you do shake them up, buddy. I mean, they expected us to buy their whole fable, and people haven't, and we're going to get them in the end. Anything else there, Dan?
What rights do you think Barack Obama is going to attack? I know one of them is going to be the Second Amendment, but what other rights?
It's going to be the whole same agenda, more wars, police state. Look, Bush just passes the baton. Right now they're passing the baton. Obama's, I mean, he's a puppet. Kevin, you want to comment on that?
Well, I would guess that Barack and his administration, Senator Obama, is probably not going to be much different than Senator McCain or Senator Biden or the Bush family. They're largely, I think, the same people. They appear to be nominating the same types of people as have been in power before.
Well,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I don't expect much change from the path we're on unless we take charge of it ourselves.
I mean, exactly. Congress has been physically threatened with martial law. Senator Inhofe, two other congressmen we talked to, on record, Bloomberg reports we're under war powers, Federal Reserve. I mean, if they're telling Congress they don't run anything, you better believe the president's been told he's a puppet. That's why he was chosen. He's like a front man, a CEO. He's definitely a fellow traveler. Kevin Ryan, thank you so much for all you've done. We'll check out the websites and your great info.
Thank you.
There he goes. Have a good New Year.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, coming up in 15 minutes, we got my good friend, Hollywood movie producer, artist, writer, director, Tommy Pallotta in studio with us for just 40 minutes. I want to have this young man back for a full hour to talk about activism in the future. We've only got him for this one segment today. Robert Wanick is a 15-year-old high school student and 9/11 truth activist. He has fought against indoctrination and censorship in his schools and runs the website noneocons.com. I love that website. I didn't know that was his. And Robert's YouTube videos have received tens of thousands of hits, more than that. Not only did his principal tell him he couldn't wear a 9/11 truth T-shirt, well, then they blacked it out in the school annual, censored it when everybody else, you know, was allowed to have messages on their shirts. Then their textbook tells him that New World Order's good, world government's good. But then when he complains about it, they tell him it doesn't exist. But then he has videos with the textbook, and we've checked out the textbook. It does have that chapter. So classic doublethink. They're taught psych warfare. Oh, it says that, but you're not seeing that, Winston. So I want to play a little clip of him from YouTube up on screen, and we're going to go right to him. Here it is.
School, the teachers and the faculty laugh. They literally call it a conspiracy. Even though it's been admitted, it's a conspiracy. But now I'm taking American history. Here's my book, American History. And as I was looking through it today in class, I came across something that we will be learning about. America in the New World Order. You can see that, I hope. 1970 to the present. They talk about how NAFTA is a big part of the New World Order. The one thing they should talk about is the NAFTA superhighway, but they don't dare mention that in our history books.
They also try to promote the already failed war on drugs by saying it promotes extreme violence. And we all know that the war on drugs is a massive failure, but they're trying to drill it into kids' heads that it is being a success.
Meanwhile, he sticks Infowars.com and GCN stickers everywhere, or somebody does in the school. I love it. Fighting that brainwashing camp. Oh, there's one of our bumper stickers. 9/11 was an inside job. That goes out in all our orders. By the way, I want to start a program. If you want free bumper stickers to stick at your school, we'll mail them out to you.
Under punishable school rules, Rule 14 reads, respect yourself and be proud to be a cowboy or cowgirl.
That's the mascot.
We're right? Being forced to be proud to be a cowboy. We must respect and be proud of our school. Be proud of our principal, no matter how fascist he is. Now, what kind of rule is that? No matter what, be proud to be part of that school? They're constantly telling you to respect your authority figures, no matter how they treat you. And no matter what's wrong with your school, it is a rule to be proud to be a cowboy, or you will be punished. Our school has so many cameras inside and outside. They're tracking everything you do, just like a police state. Although we have low violence at my small town school, low theft, and basically no serious crimes. But here's one of the rules. Personal phones with photographic capabilities used as photographic instruments are not allowed in the school building. Persons using these phones in the school as a photographic device will be subject to suspension for a period of time designated by the administration. So you're not allowed to have a camera phone in the school. Personal phones with photographic capabilities are not allowed in the school building. They don't want you to catch them saying something. They don't want to catch you to catch them doing anything. Give us some personal freedom. It starts with synchronizing your day to get you ready for the New World Order. Everything you do is planned out and you have no choice. Then it goes on to banning any photographic devices from entering the school. No freedom of press, no personal phones at all. The final step is brainwashing you with chapters in your history book on the New World Order, trying to promote it as a good peacekeeping movement.
There's more there, and he was also told, you know, basically that you could have any nonviolent message you wanted on your shirt, but his 9/11 inside job wasn't allowed, so that got censored as well. Let's go ahead and go to Robert. Robert, it's great to have you here with us, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. I appreciate you bringing me on today.
Well, I mean, obviously, you're using their censorship, their attempted censorship, to wake up and rally the youth there in their Shawshank prison. Tell folks a little bit about yourself and this saga in this indoctrination camp that your parents have you in. So how are you fighting inside the re-education center?
Yeah, well, I'm a 15-year-old sophomore, and I go to Breckenridge High School, and the school operates with no respect for the Constitution. They literally tell the students that you leave your rights at the door to keep it as a safe learning environment. You're not allowed to bring cameras into the schools, so there is no freedom of the press. You are not allowed free speech, and they can designate whatever they want inappropriate. They can designate whatever T-shirts they want. If they do not like the message, that T-shirt can be censored according to them. And basically, they don't want any alternative theories, and you can be punished for bringing them up. 9/11 truth is a punishable theory in our school. You're not allowed to mention the New World Order. They don't let me talk to recruiters when they come to the school. When I see a Marine recruiter, I can't even get near him without a teacher hassling me, asking me
why.
Well,
how dare you? I mean, look, you're not allowed to talk to other people in prison. You're there to be indoctrinated and learn how to get on Prozac, Ritalin, or how to go into the military or how to go to prison. It's to institutionalize you. We have their own documents. Tell folks where the government re-education camp is located that you attend.
Well, I go to school in Breckenridge, Minnesota. It's a smaller small town in Minnesota, about 3 hours away from the big Twin Cities, and that's why they think they can get away with this unconstitutional indoctrination of the students, this brainwashing, when they know that it's just a perfect opportunity for them to drill the New World Order into our heads.
Well, you need to create a student group. If they refuse to accreditate it, you need to sue them for that. And I would make a huge deal out of it, and I would take that school over through the First Amendment, and I would, you know, create a student union, which is your God-given right, to basically let them know that you do have value and that you do not leave your rights at the door and that you're not going to be taught that you're a slave or a prisoner.
Absolutely, because schools are really in place. Any person that's thinking creatively knows that schools are really in place to keep you from learning about the real issues. No alternative theories, and when you bring one up, they're just going to go out of their way to shut you up, claim you have no rights.
It seems like I saw noneocons.com years ago. How long have you been involved in the fight against the New World Order?
I've been involved for about a year and a half now. Started off with 9/11 Truth, when I was just your average kid, not involved in any politics, and it wasn't hard for me to see that the lies don't add up, and that the science, it's proven.
What woke you up? I mean, when did you finally wake up?
Okay, I waked up when I woke up when I was about 14 years old, young 14 year old. Now I'm 15 years old, so about a year ago.
I mean, what was the thing that triggered it?
Well, the thing that triggered me waking up was when I was in science class, we watched a video on the physics of 9/11, and I noticed that things don't add up. I researched 9/11, came across films like 9/11, The Road to Tyranny, 9/11, Loose Change.
So wait a minute, they were brainwashing you with the official story?
They were giving us the official conspiracy theory. And
but
we were
that's what so that's what backfired on them. That's why I love these hit pieces they do on us. That's where we're getting all our converts. I love it.
Exactly. They think they can feed us the propaganda, and then they think that we're not going to do anything about it. And just because we're youth doesn't mean that we're not going to stand up against them. They're the so-called superiors. Well, last time I checked, it was we the people.
Well, see, it's a new religion. They're indoctrinating you. The hating your rights is good. Men in Black ski mask is good. FEMA camps is good. It's all attacking other countries is good. It's all for your safety because the evil terrorist attacks you on 9/11, the PNAC plan all over again. In closing, I want to have you back up in the next few weeks for a full hour. We're really impressed with what you're doing. I commend you. I was going to have you on longer today, but a special guest was in town. But in closing, a lot of schools, they tell young people, do not talk about 9/11. Do not visit InfoWars.com. You're saying you get reprimanded similarly if you do at your government training camp?
You get reprimanded? What you're asking is
specifically, you were saying you're not allowed to talk about 9/11 Truth there in the prison, I mean the school.
Yes, exactly. You're not allowed to talk about it, and if you do, they'll give you in-school suspensions where you're sitting in a room the whole entire day without contact. They'll give you detention.
Oh, God.
And when I mentioned free speech last year, this video has almost 100,000 hits. When I've mentioned free speech last year, they called the police into the school, and they detained me for explaining my rights to them. They had the police come in and detain me, and that's where the police state starts in schools.
Oh, my God. You know, let me do this. Let me set you up this week, because you're still out of school right now, right?
Yes, till January 5th.
So you've been given leave from the camp for a few days. Let me set you up in the next 2 days to come on for a full hour, because I wasn't aware it was this bad. I've seen, well, there was another case of youth getting in trouble in Austin schools for even mentioning 9/11 Truth, and then they threatened to take him to jail and then actually suspended one young man. So, I mean, they call the cops on you for this now, huh? Boy,
yeah,
I tell you.
Detain me. Don't read me my rights. Nothing.
Has that backfired on them, though, with the other youth now wanting to know what all the hubbub's about?
Oh, yeah. We hand out all these 9/11 stickers. Everyone puts them on their lockers. Everyone goes around talking about it. Nobody submits to their tyranny anymore.
Oh, excellent. It's blowing up in the tyrants' faces. America is defending liberty. The Republic is being defended by our young people. I'm going to skip this break for PrisonPlanet.tv for just part of it. Here we go.
So you finally...
All right, that's good. I just, in closing, want to get Aaron, who's producing right now, to call you, Robert, and set you back up for the show for a full hour later this week. I'm going to have him call you right now, okay?
All right.
Because I want to hear this whole story. And, again, I really appreciate what you're doing.
All right. If it wasn't for sites like InfoWars and We Are Change and people out there like you, Nathan Moulton, Luke Radelski, everybody out there, the youth wouldn't be waking up. So.
Well, this is real rebellion. This is real rebellion, not having dreadlocks or tattoos all over you. And I'm not saying people are bad that do that. My point is that this is real rebellion against tyranny. This is Rosa Parks level stuff. I want to commend you, and you just keep it. I want to get the full story the next few days. We'll talk to you then.
All right.
Thank you. Folks, we're going to go back to break. When we come back, Tommy Pilato is going to be in studio. Stay with us.
Strange days have found us.
We're going to have Robert Wanick back on for a full hour later in the week. We have Tommy Pilato, director, film producer of things like Waking Life, Scanner Darkly, The High Road, many other films. And he also does big art projects for international museums and things. Directed a lot of MTV music videos back in the day. Jack of all trades, good friend of mine. And we've got Tommy here in studio with us. Tommy, it's good to have you here.
It's good to be here in the new studio, Alex.
You bet, my friend. So much is going on. Let's get into the alternative media. I think it's got the establishment worried.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm pretty excited about it all. I mean, there's more and more ways to disseminate information every day. And it seems like people are taking advantage of that more and more. And it seems like the sort of traditional media is becoming more and more fractured. That audiences are the audiences can find more things that they want to, you know, be informed about now.
Well, I agree with you. You were just telling me about a particular little widget you use to listen over your iPhone to the show. The widget is for free.
Right.
And it's funny, we had dinner last night. You were telling me about it. That was the very day that Kurt Nemo added it to the Listen Live page. Tell folks about that particular widget.
Well, Flycast, is that the one you're talking about?
Flycast.
Yeah, for my iPhone, I downloaded a little app called Flycast that allows me to listen to your show streaming every day. So I think it uses Shoutcast to do that. And my idea for you was that you create your own little application, or one of your listeners creates an application for you that would allow you to stream just your show, because you still have to search through that application to find your show. And I thought it'd be great to have an InfoWars application where you could kind of look at the New York Times application as well, that they're able to push articles and stuff like that on it, but also to stream your show.
People will volunteer to make us that application. We'll put it up. And I would add for Kurt on the Flycast to try to add a link to their subdirectory, not just their main page, so folks can find us on there. But, I mean, that's the great news. Now your iPhone, your cell phone, any of them, people can listen to the radio show. Again, that further destroys the monopoly of the establishment. That's why Barack Obama has now announced Internet 2 to openly take over the Internet and kind of kill the old web and force us onto the new one. Where do you stand on that, Tommy?
You know, I think we've got to be really careful. And one of the main problems is that there's so much disinformation going on. And, you know, I have hope that technology, or the people who really understand these new technologies, are going to work much faster than anybody trying to destroy that sort of flow of information. So, you know, the levee's been open, and that information's coming out. And they can make it harder, but it's hard to stop it completely.
Well, that's what I was about to say. They're trying to eat around the edges with taxes, regulation, internet rating, where the government runs you through their servers to put a rating up. Australia's proposing the same system, but admitting it's Chinese-style censorship. That's the headline.
Right.
So just the filter itself, they're predicting, will slow the web down by 75 to 85%. And then you'll go through a government server, which also snoops on everything you do. Now, they're already doing
right,
it.
Right,
right. But now they're being public about it.
Right. Well, the Echelon and things like that, I'm sure, has always been a
exactly,
part of
but in the name of a web rating, they're admitting they're going to pass you through.
Right, right, the web rating.
And then I guess InfoWars.com will be rated for extreme, like a lot of corporations already ban us.
Right.
And that's their business, but it's different whenever governments do it.
Yeah, but again, I think that there's always going to be a way around that. And I think the great thing about your show is that I see it in many different ways. I mean, it's on BitTorrent, it's on YouTube, you know, however much they're trying to stop it. You have redundancy even within your own websites. So they can try to, you know, stop InfoWars.com, but people are going to take that information, you know, and disseminate it in other ways, which is always good.
No, that exactly. That's why we ask listeners to go and copy all the stories we write and then post them everywhere else. Because they'll even block us on the search engines now.
Right.
But then it still gets out on other people's sites. But
enough about me. We're talking about the alternative media. You've been kind of an alternative outside the main Hollywood system filmmaker on your own right. What's going on with film right now and, you know, freedom in film? Or is that still controlled by the big boys?
Well, more and more. I mean, you know, I started with independent film. And now the sort of independent boutiques have all pretty much shut down. So, again, it's, you know, it comes and goes in waves. I think that right now it's pretty much all just a studio type way to make films in America only. But I think more and more I'm looking at the European model of making movies where you're actually culling together financing from multiple sources, multiple countries and things like that. And I think that everybody's going to be going to have to get really creative in how to finance and distribute movies. In the past, there was always kind of a one-stop shop. You get money from one source, you go to one studio, they distribute it, and they pretty much had a cookie-cutter way to get that film out. Those days are over. I mean, I think that now you just have to be creative, not only in the filmmaking aspect of it, but also in the distribution aspect of it, the financing, and, you know, just the marketing of it.
Absolutely. Again, folks, in stores, you can get Scanner Darkly, you can get you know, films like Waking Life. I was in a Best Buy last week and happened to see somebody literally there, you know, getting a copy of Scanner Darkly, and then right next to it I saw a copy of Waking Life. So those both have serious political messages. We'll be back with a long segment, your phone calls at 1-800-259-9231. Stay with us. Hey, that sounds like ice cream trucks out there. Sounds like Christmas. That's what Willie Nelson said on the show when he heard that music. Like, he just stopped talking. He went. Tommy Pilato's with us for another 25 minutes in studio. I hope you come back through town sooner. We'll do 2 or 3 hours here on air.
We will.
If you're a fan of Waking Life or a fan of Scanner Darkly or any other films that Tommy's produced or some of the other films that he's directed, or if you'd like to talk to him about you know, the media, the alternative media, what it's like making a really independent film with, you know, that big of stars like he did with Scanner Darkly, you're welcome to call in. Phone calls about the new media, the attempts to censor the alternative media, 1-800-259-9231. Tommy, specifically, you know, you're into futurist ideas, and you've worked for some other big corporations, you know, just on the futurist angle with nanotech and technology and all of this. Genetic engineering, this doesn't just threaten the people. There's also a lot of opportunities there, and we see the system and the establishment may have all this innovation, but they've got old dinosaurs running it. And, I mean, take 9/11. That's an operation from the 60s, thinking they could control the media when they didn't. And they're not omnipresent. They're not God. What type of opportunities do you see in this revolution of technology?
I'm not sure. You know, I mean, I think that there's a lot of questions that are floating around right now. And whenever those questions are out there, people are going to search for answers. Some are going to be close to the truth. Some might be really far off. So it's going to be harder and harder to sort of sift through that information. And it's going to take people to really organize and get together. Like it always has been. People, that's always been the challenge, is organization and getting people to move, you know, in a movement towards a common goal.
Do you agree? Well, I mean, I know you agree as we've talked. I mean, the system is in crisis. I mean, the New World Order is attempting to take over. You know, they've got that avarice, you know, they've got that propulsion system. But at the same time, the more they try to grab, the more slips through their fingers. I mean, it does. I mean, all the evidence shows the New World Order is in crisis. Where do you see all this going?
It doesn't seem good. It seems like they're opening up Pandora's box. And the weird thing, I think, for us and maybe most of the listeners is that we're not really at the same morality level as these people that are doing these crimes. I mean, the kind of morality that it takes to swindle billions of dollars is kind of foreign to me, and I bet most people, and how they can go ahead and do these things, and they're working on different moral principles, I think. And so that's a really difficult thing to sort of combat against, because it's really hard for me to understand the psychology behind the kinds of crimes that these people are doing.
Well, I agree with you, but I mean, you see the criminal mindset. I mean, they love big heists. They love complex operations. They love to fool the public. And if you study the psychology of criminals, then you look at the New World Order. I mean, isn't it the exact same mindset? I mean, it's the same people.
Yeah, and I mean, the one thing that always kind of shocks me is just the lack of value for human life. You know, I think you go out in the street, you talk to people, and people have a certain value, an inherent value on life. And these people don't seem to have that.
I agree. I mean, projecting forward into the future, what do you see happening with the media itself, this, you know, this war between the alternative and the kind of old dinosaurs? Because, you know, really, that is how the people communicate with each other. That's what sets the cultural parameters. And I mean, you're a, you know, invited guest in Tokyo, Austin, Texas, L.A., all over, particularly to speak on the future of the media, because, you know, you've been cutting edge in a lot of areas there. I mean, here on air right now, where do you see things going in the next 5-10 years?
You know, you always hope for the best. You always hope that people are going to educate themselves more and more. I mean, unfortunately, right now, I would say that television is one of the main culprits for mind control. But that doesn't mean that it's inherently evil. It's just that, for the most part, it's being used in a really negative way. And the great thing about the internet is that the potential is really great. And all these other things like Twitter and ways to communicate and sort of organize people, I hope that it's going to be used more and more.
Well, absolutely. And again, that threatens the system. In just a year, Twitter is now starting to rival YouTube and things for communicating to people worldwide. I noticed last week somebody created an Infowars.com Twitter, and it had, you know, thousands of people visiting it. So we just created one Saturday.
Good.
And, you know, it's already got a few hundred people on it. I haven't even plugged it yet. Yes, go to Infowars.com, link through to our Twitter page, and you can get those updates of, you know, text articles on your cell phone. Again, how is the system going to deal with this? We know that DARPA invented the World Wide Web to surveil and control all commerce. We know they designed it to try to control people, but it's backfired on them, Tommy, and I agree with you.
Right.
I don't see them putting it back in Pandora's box.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, it all comes down to the people, though. I mean, there's no piece of technology that's going to save us. There's no, you know, golden solution. It's going to come down to people educating themselves, communicating with each other, and organizing.
And I also think being more cynical. I mean, I think after World War II, we won the war. We were the good guys. We beat the bad guys. We can do no wrong. And then the evil just, it was already there, just exploded. I think we have to come to grips with the fact that we really do have a corrupt evil empire.
You know, it's hard. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I read the news, and it's hard to sort of find some sort of hope or optimism and all that. I think you do a really good job of instilling that into the people and in your show. But I think a lot of people feel the same way. And it's hard not to look at it and feel hopeless.
You know, I'm glad you're coming to South by Southwest this year. I know you're a speaker there. That hadn't been announced yet, so we won't get into any of the details. But I look forward to seeing you when you're actually here in town. There's some other exciting things I won't be announcing as well. But when is South by Southwest, Tommy?
It's in March, mid-March.
Tell us some of the things you're working on right now that you can. I mean, I know a lot of stuff is in embryonic phases, so you don't want to...
Well, right now I'm doing a sort of series of portraits of people that are documentaries, and one that I'm doing on is on Stephen Prince, who was a friend of Martin Scorsese's, and Scorsese made a film of him in the 70s, and I'm kind of visiting him 30 years later. And another thing that I'm doing is I'm developing a Philip K. Dick short story called Electric Ant. I'm working with some comic book writers to make a graphic novel out of it, and it's also going to be called Electric Ant. It's going to come out. Marvel's going to distribute that.
And then we'll see a film, I bet, out of that.
Hopefully. We'll see.
And you're working on some other big films, but you can't get into those.
Right. Yeah.
Some very exciting stuff.
Yeah. It's all, you know, I'm really interested in science fiction and thrillers for the most part, and I'm always kind of amazed at of how a lot of these big mainstream movies almost have interesting ideas, and they're kind of skirting around these things, like Eagle Eye. I don't know if you saw that, but it's...
No,
kind
is it of good?
No, it's not that good. But, you know, it kind of deals with surveillance and artificial intelligence and you know... computers to
so the idea is interesting, just not executed well.
Right, they definitely skirt it.
Eagle Eye,
yeah.
You know, Philip K. Dick. So much of what he wrote about and thought about came true. It was almost like he was prescient.
Yeah, I mean, I think about that. I think that that some people are just really open to what's happening around them. And that Nixon era, that when he was writing, you know, that's sort of kind of the Bush era too. You know, there's a lot of the sort of there's parallels to that. And I think that, you know, some people are just more sensitive and they're more open to what's around them. And in retrospect, it seems like they're prescient, but they're really just sort of reflecting those times.
Hey, what do you think of the new digs?
I love it, man. This is amazing. It's really cool, and it's an honor to be here.
Oh, come on.
In studio.
It's an honor to have you here, but we're going to build another TV studio out there, you know, just for television, so it isn't as crazy. But we're doing the web thing. We're doing everything live right now. I'm going to take the best of each week and boil it down for a one-hour TV show. I think we're going to do another TV show that's a live news program. But I really miss you, man. I miss going on those bike rides and hanging out and stuff. But going out boating on Lake Travis. But you hop around. I mean, you always kind of move back to Austin every 5-6 years.
Yeah.
You know, I've known you for about 10 years now.
I circle.
Time sure flies. When are you and now? Do you want folks to know where you're living now?
Yeah, sure. You know, you can tell them I'm living in Amsterdam currently.
You're living in the Netherlands.
Yep.
And you're working with a film company over there on some stuff.
Yep. Film company called Submarine. And it looks like I'm going to be doing a project in Abu Dhabi next for a museum there.
If folks want to find out more, what's the Submarine website? Are you?
It's submarine.nl.
Netherlands, submarine.nl. So you are just global. Well, let's get to some phone calls, or we'll never have time to take them. Let's go ahead and talk to Betty in Wisconsin. Betty, you're on the air with Tommy Pilato. Okay, who's up next here? Because I got a big Mark in Oregon. You're on the air. Then Bryant, Arnie, Leo, and others. Go ahead, Mark in Oregon.
Yeah, hey, Alex, and hey, Tommy. Great to speak with you. I've got a suggestion I'd like to make to both of you, and it's an idea I've had solely to further the cause of exposing the truth of 9/11 and the other truths which are directly or indirectly related to it. And that is actually a movie, and I would call the movie perhaps Alex Jones the Movie. I would call the movie A Day in the Life of Alex Jones.
Oh, please.
Maybe starting out first frame on the treadmill, and basically Alex, it would require perhaps a speaking tour, a global speaking tour, to promote the movie, and you've always been interested in doing that, and I know time's of the essence these days, and you have to, both of you gentlemen have to allocate your time to the greatest effect toward exposing the truth that needs to be exposed. But I wanted to suggest that I thought it would be something you could ponder on in the future, both of you, and Alex knows enough people that are associated with
it. No. Let's make a movie about A Day in the Life of Tommy Pilato.
No.
Alex, you'll go a long way if there's a movie about you. It'll make millions.
I don't even care about the money thing. I won't have any future to spend any money if we don't turn this around, man. Listen, filmmaking takes a lot of time, a lot of energy. Even if you're like Steven Spielberg, it's hard to get the very film you want made. I mean, Empire Strikes Back, George Lucas almost had that taken away from him. Mm-hmm. Tommy, explain this to people, that it's hard to do things like this.
Well, it also changes. I mean, it's a very fluid business. And right now, you know, like Waking Life was a movie that Alex was...
It's evergreen, by the way, bigger than ever now, right?
And Alex has one of my favorite scene in the whole movie. But that movie at that time was made completely independently, and we sold it to a distributor, and it got some distribution. But, you know, now the way that things are, I don't think that same movie would sell the same way. And I don't think it would get seen the same way. You know, it's really a lot to do with timing.
Exactly. As they say, the planets have to align. And I appreciate your call. I hate talking about myself. This is ridiculous, Mark. I appreciate it. Trying to explain this, look, Discovery Channel, and I'm not going to get into it because they asked me not to say too much, but some of it's been in the news now, so I can talk about it, made a $3.5 million film because Discovery was going to go the way of you know, kind of a BBC or an HBO.
Right.
You know, they wanted like a name for real filmmaking. So one of the top filmmakers in the country in documentary, he's like the number two guy. He spent a $3.5 million. I was one of the main characters, and then he wouldn't make it a hit piece on me, and so it was shelved. And this is the first film he's ever made that just went in the toilet. I mean, it's on the Discovery, and then the new person they brought in to totally change Discovery, they got sacked over it. So see, you have to understand, folks. Bomb makers own Hollywood. Bomb makers, you know, private banks, people that run wars. And so you can even have the president of a company wanting to put you in a movie or TV. Tommy, explain this to him, the crap people have to go through.
Well, I mean, like anything, you're making something with somebody else's money. So that automatically gives them a great influence on what you're making. And very few people have director's cut, you know, that they get to whatever they make, the studio has to show. Very, very few people.
Rick gets that.
Yes. We've gotten that on the movies that we've made that you've been in.
You got that. You're the one that got it.
So, you know, it's a difficult thing to achieve. And usually you have to trade off. Like, you have to take less money in order to get that. So a lot of people aren't willing to do that either.
Yeah, that's the big issue. And then you've got to go convince all the stars to do it for almost nothing.
Yeah, that's the same thing.
I mean, that's a rarity. What you did with Scanner Darkly, that's really hard to do, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot of goodwill from a lot of people and a lot of people getting on board. And luckily, Keanu Reeves and Robert Downey Jr. And actors of that caliber really were attracted to the script, the book that it was based on, and also Richard Linklater, the director.
So, and it's a totally different film.
Yeah.
The establishment did not like it, though.
You know, it's hard to say. You know, I mean, the great thing about it is that once the movie's out there, it's out there. And, I mean, I actually really love what's going on with BitTorrent and how the movies are getting out there. And I've traveled, you know, all around the world. And movies, even movies that I've made that haven't been distributed in those countries, they are developing a fan base. And I went to Korea recently. And we showed Scanner Darkly, and I asked the audience how many people, you know, have seen the movie already. And, you know, BitTorrent's really big in Korea, and over 80% of the people raised their hands.
So it's big.
Yeah. But the thing about it is that they still came, they still paid for the movie, they still came to see it with an audience. So that shows me that, like, piracy necessarily doesn't mean that people will stop paying to have that shared experience.
In fact, it gives some alternative art a shot at actually being seen.
Right. So, I mean, I'm always happy to see.
Well, you don't like to whine and bitch, but there was some pressure that was bucked, and you guys didn't go along with it with Scanner. But I guess you don't want to get into that.
Well, I mean, I think
they didn't want the cop blowing the guy's head off.
You always get these studio notes when you're making a film, and you always are kind of wondering, are they even watching the same movie that you're making? And, you know, it's a process, and you have to sort of argue passionately to keep the things in that you want to keep in. And you have to justify it, which is all right, because most of the time I feel pretty firmly about what I believe, and I'm willing to argue about that with anyone.
Absolutely. Folks, we're playing a YouTube clip of Scanner Darkly up there. It does not do it justice. Buy the DVD. We have a link, by the way, on JonesReport.com where you can go over there and buy the DVD. I recommend you do that and support alternative media information. I talked to a lot of folks in Hollywood who want to make films like you're making, Tommy. They just, I guess, don't have the... I don't want to say skill. Things don't line up for them to ever get, I mean, even big names, to get to make something that's truly independent like you've been able to do over and over again.
Well, I mean, part of it's luck, too. I mean, it's not that it's it's sometimes it's being in the right place at the right time, and sometimes it's just being able to go with opportunities, you know, at the time that you see them. You seize those opportunities.
Yeah, a lot of folks do kind of prattle around and flim, you know, kind of just bumble around with opportunity. You got to seize destiny in your jaws. Let's talk to Bryant in New Jersey. Bryant, you're on the air with director and film producer Tommy Pallotta.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Good. Go ahead.
I hope that everything I'm about to media, it's almost amazing to see how they're lying to everybody, like, every day. And yet, people watching Obama, they still support him, and it's amazing to see this happening every day. People still, they know that they're being lied to, but yet they still believe in some of what the media is making them think is true.
Yeah, let me comment on that. It sounds like you're a bit nervous there. Don't worry, we all are. And we'll come back and have Tommy come on it. Look, this is what's happening. That's why the establishment gave people the novelty of a black guy. I'd love it was a black guy and he was for liberty and anti-war or whatever, you know, pro-freedom. But they, again, it's form. It's packaging over substance. And so Obama lied to everybody and said he was anti-surveillance, anti-NAFTA and GATT, anti-war. Now he's flip-flopping on all of that. And folks are getting upset, but so many of them wanted to believe, wanted to be sold on that. But now they'll be even more cynical and more sophisticated in understanding what's happening. I want every minute with Tommy in the time we've got left. So for PrisonPlanet.tv, we are going to skip this break. For the rest of the network, we'll be back in 3 short minutes. Please stay with us. Tommy, you want to comment on that? We're going out right now on PrisonPlanet.tv. I don't want to waste any time. I want to answer that caller's comment.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, you know, was there really a choice for a presidential election? I mean, we had two candidates, and I was in Amsterdam during the elections, and I think like 85 or 90% of the people were for Obama in Amsterdam, and or the Netherlands, in Holland, you know, total.
Yeah, I saw the report. It was 90%.
I found myself really sort of biting my tongue while I was there because people had so much hope that something was going to change.
And it wasn't that you were for McCain. People were so simple-minded. Yeah, that you knew it was a selected false choice.
Right. And just as far as, you know, the damage that the Bush administration has done over the last 8 years, there was no other choice other than Obama. I mean, the Obama thing and the way that he really positioned that, or whoever positioned it, was that like...
Yeah, you had to repudiate Bush. So.
Exactly. You hope for the best and you prepare for the worst, you know, as the saying goes.
Yeah, but I mean, the betrayal is so over the top.
Yeah, the cabinet members were, you know, just right off the bat, they all were bad choices.
But I mean, obviously, gay marriage, all that's a football issue. But then he goes and appoints the big anti-gay guy to give his inauguration. I mean, it's like, and he appoints the warmongers, and he appoints the, and I mean, my whole point is, regardless of where you are on those issues, he's going 180 degrees from his base. Yeah. He's kind of bitch slapping him, you know?
Yeah, it's a weird thing, and you have to really wonder what the psychology behind that is.
It's bitch slapping. He's pimping the hoes. I'm sorry.
Yeah. What else?
No, but I mean, how bad do you see this getting? That's what I was asking Ed Asner.
God, man, how bad? I think economically, it's only going to get much worse, and I'm sure that you're talking about that all the time here. And you know, you don't need a crystal ball to see that. And I think as soon as, but I mean, on the flip side, I think once people really start to suffer, then they'll start to become much more proactive. And they'll start to educate themselves.
But then, in a way,
he'll organize.
Well, I mean, I agree. But then he'll act again as a diversion. As people realize he betrayed them, they're going to think he's actually running something and blame him when the guy's a puppet. So, in a way, I'm even defending Obama. I'm saying we need to depoliticize him.
Right.
Just like I said with Bush, as bad as he is, it's Rumsfeld. It's these other people. I mean, it's like Zbigniew Brzezinski.
Right.
I mean, this is a guy that wrote the neocon handbook, and then they just stole it from him.
Right.
I don't know, Tommy. I just envy you in the Netherlands because my parents were just over there and they said that's their favorite place in Europe. I've never been there.
You know, it was really important for me to get out and sort of gain some perspective from here. I mean, it was just sort of driving me crazy and reading the news every single day here. And I found a certain peace. Not that I think that Europe is going to be immune from any of the thing that's going on. I mean, it's a global crisis that's happening. It's going to affect everybody around the world. But it was nice to sort of get away for a little while.
Let's go back to the full audience. Here we go. All right. Tommy Pallotta is our guest, and it has been really fun having him here in studio. I'll take a few final calls from, I guess, Arnie, Leo, and a few others. Fox News is reporting that Rahm Emanuel just resigned. See, the military-industrial complex is blackmailing Obama with all this news.
Right.
So, will you guys check that and confirm and see if that's true? John, did you confirm that? Okay, well, we'll see if that's true then. Somebody may have talked about he may resign. I've heard they're saying he may resign. But again, people are all, look, they're all crooks. Resco and Chicago. Folks, they are surveilling every governor in the country. They're basically, most of them are corrupt. I'll put it to you that way. Especially Chicago. And then they burn you. Look, Spitzer went after Bank of America and the brokerage firms. Boom, the Hooker news comes out. This guy, you know, is selling Senate seats. Of course he was. And I'm not saying it's okay. I'm saying, what is the FBI doing surveilling all these people? They're using it where if they want to hammer them, they can. Tommy?
Right. Well, I mean, I think more and more we're moving into that surveillance state. And it is the way, and we've talked about it many times, that is a prison planet. You know, you no longer need to put people in cages if you have all this information on them.
You introduced me to the Panopticon and full cults.
Discipline and punish.
Discipline and punish. Well, that is a heavy read.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you know, I'm also thinking about making a documentary that sort of goes down to the history of the prison systems and torture and how that relates to sort of modern day.
Well, it's awesome, Tommy. You're doing so much. I want to make our NASA documentary.
Yeah. That's you know, again, that's the dream. I think after these next couple of films, we'll look at NASA and see what they're doing.
There's so many projects. It's so little time here. Long way to go, a short time to get there. Arnie in California, you're on the air worldwide.
Hey, hello?
Yes, sir.
This is this is Ari, and I go to school in Washington, and I just wanted to sympathize with Robert, who you had on earlier. And
yes.
I know how it is. We have cameras everywhere, and it's insane how if you think outside of the box, especially with regards to drugs or 9/11, that immediately the groupthink kicks in and they shut you down.
Yeah, they're training you how to be a prisoner. I don't know. How, any exactly. Parent, it'd be better for your child not to go to school than to be in a public school, folks.
Yeah. Sorry, what? You didn't come through.
It would be better for your child to not even be in school.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Self-education. Like Thomas Jefferson, just never let schooling get in the way of your education and freely think, not the group think.
Absolutely. Ari, anything else?
Yeah. So, yeah, I just had a question. How do we overcome this? Like, how can we... Oh, yeah, like, is there any methods that you have thought of or that people have shared with you?
Well, I mean, people expect everything to be, like, out of a hamburger window at McDonald's quick. No, it's a process. We've gotten decadent, evil, corrupt, you know, out of shape mentally as a nation. We have to get back in shape. But, Tommy?
You know, again, you just got to educate yourself. You got to educate the people around you. You know, it'll start small, but it'll spread. And then you have to organize, and then you have to act.
Absolutely. I appreciate your call. I hate to cut you off, Ari. Leo and Mash, you got 1 minute. Take us out of here. Go ahead, Leo.
Yeah, hi. I've been looking forward to somebody coming out with a basic template, done in the format of a movie maybe, just for entertainment, but basically to stop Web 2.0 and expose it worldwide and offer us ways of combating it and then translating it into a bunch of different languages, keeping it simple, stupid, basically, so that it's easy to translate.
Well, you know, I've done some little presentations, enough respect, and many others have done it. I appreciate your call. A manual to resign House seat on Friday. This is Fox News. It is confirmed, and I will be back tomorrow, 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time, to cover the aftermath of maybe he's resigning to go join the IDF. You know, he's an Israeli Mossad agent publicly. I mean, literally, he was in the IDF. So, and we want to pray for all those folks dying on both sides over in Israel and Palestine. Tommy Pallotta, you are super, brother. There.
All right, it's good to be here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. End of transmission. Rebroadcast starts now at one place on the streams, InfoWars.com. Get out there and take on the New World Order. God bless you all.